Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. College football's early national signing period opened on Wednesday. Ohio State signed 25 recruits for the 6th highest ranked class of 2026, according to 24/7 Sports. USC's got the nation's top class. Trojans flipped 4-star receiver Caden Dixon Wyatt from Ohio State yesterday. USC's reportedly out on 5-star OSU commit Chris Henry Jr., but the top wide receiver in the class has yet to officially sign his letter of intent. Reports have the Oregon Ducks making a last-minute push, as well as the departure of Brian Hartline, who will take the South Florida head coach job after the Buckeyes complete their postseason run. Number one Ohio State's a 4-point favorite Saturday night in the Big Ten Championship. They'll battle number 2 Indiana for an 8 o'clock kick from Lucas Oil Stadium. Hear more from OSU's head coach today at noon on the Ryan Day Radio Show. And Kirill Marchenko's back on the ice for the Blue Jackets. They'll host the Red Wings at 7:30. This update sponsored by Whiskey War by High Bank Distillery. Drink local. Drink High Bank.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lavery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Tom Tiberi here.
Oh, Reese came in, and he's handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me.
Oh,
I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
All right, let's do it live on a Thursday edition of the program. Bo and the boys with you for the next three. As always, Reese is here. Rhyme Time is here in for Bake. Always good to see Rhyme Time here, especially on a Thursday edition. We're loaded up. We got your emails coming in at 10 o'clock. Coming up at 10:30, Paul Feinbaum. Lots to get to there. 11 o'clock, we will beat the house with the NFL. Reese, I think you were even, Steve, and I was a game under even. So hopefully you can do a little bit better as we attempt to beat the house coming up at 11 o'clock. And then a little bit of Shelly time coming up at 11:30. My, how the times have changed. You heard the handsome update anchor there go through the National Signing Day stuff from yesterday. And it just kind of popped up. I'll be very candid with you. As we started the show yesterday, it was probably about 45 minutes before we started that it hit me that it was National Signing Day. This used to be a holiday for me. This was Christmas in February. I loved it. I would pore over all of it. And it was something that you couldn't wait to see. They were all the hat dance, all this stuff. You gotta remember, this was before the early entry stuff. It was before any of that. It was on this day, you sign on the line, which is dotted, and you chase those fax machines until you get them in your hand, and then you're good. And I've told stories before of high school football players I covered in the South. There was one who was trying to sign at Oregon, and his mom would not sign on the line, which is dotted. So she grabbed the NIL or the letter of intent and ran out of the auditorium. The mom in front of it, like media is there, hundreds of people. She ran out and would not sign on the line and wouldn't let him sign to go to Oregon. Eventually, cooler heads prevailed and he did end up going to Oregon. And she, of course, wanted him to stay home at Florida State. But there's those stories. Hell, we had one of those yesterday with Ohio State with this Legend Bay kid. Great name, by the way, but originally a Tennessee commit. Then he's an Ohio State commit. Shows up to his signing day yesterday wearing Ohio State garb, ready to sign and be a Buckeye. And according to the reporting, mom won't sign the letter of intent. And he's not 18, so she has to. And so inevitably, he ends up signing with Tennessee because, you know, you got to have a happy house too. So there's that part of it. And who knows what's going on behind the scenes that led to that end, right? So while so many things have changed, the chaos around it remains the same. But there are some remarkable changes that happened yesterday. And I think it speaks to how various programs are going to try to build in this modern edition of college football. For the first time since 2008, a non-SEC team won the recruiting title. It was USC. USC won the recruiting title. Oregon was second. Notre Dame was third. Not a single SEC team in the top three. Now, Ohio State, as far as recruiting goes, is an SEC team. I mean, that's how they recruit. They recruit like Bama and Georgia. The next three are Georgia, Bama, and Ohio State. So they're right there. They're three through, they're, you know, four through six, but one through three is USC, Oregon, and Notre Dame. There is a shift that has happened in large part because of name, image, and likeness, in large part because who is motivated to put cash on the table for these kids to get them to sign on the line, which is dotted. And what you saw yesterday was an incredibly motivated USC booster system that got organized. They got organized. And they said, you know what? We paid all this money for Lincoln Riley. The least we can do is put him in the best position to succeed. Is USC a team that we're going to see at the top of this for the next 4 or 5 years? Who knows? I do know that that's probably a big reason why Lincoln Riley went there, in addition to the fact he didn't want to compete in the SEC at Oklahoma. It's a reason that most people, when you do top five, top 10 jobs in the country, put USC on it, because there is an appeal and you know that you can recruit there. Oregon's not going anywhere. As long as Phil Knight's alive, Oregon's going to spend. In fact, Oregon had the second highest overall player rating behind only Alabama at 93.29. They finished with the number two class in the country. And as Reese mentioned in the update, still trying to poach Chris Henry Jr. from Ohio State. So as long as Phil Knight's around, they're going to go. I think one of the most remarkable stories of signing day yesterday was came from South Bend, where Notre Dame finished with the number three class and did not have a single player decommit. So Marcus Freeman is making connections with players that you have to pay attention to. And they are organized in terms of their NIL. They are ready to pay, and they are locked in on it. It's beyond that, though. The top three players in the country, all quarterbacks, according to the 24/7 composite, went to Houston, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt. We've never had this happen before. These are quarterbacks, not D linemen that we overpay like Tennessee did a couple years ago. No, no, no. This is quarterback play. Houston, Tennessee, Vanderbilt. The kid from that ended up going to Vanderbilt, Jared Curtis, I think was his name, originally was going to Georgia. Okay, that makes sense. Flips last minute to Vanderbilt. By the way, this is now two straight classes where Georgia had the number one quarterback in the country, and he flipped. Last year, they lost the kid to Colorado. So it's 2 years in a row that that's happened to the Dogs. This doesn't happen to the Dogs 5 years ago. It happens now. And if you're looking for how did we get here, college basketball was actually here a decade ago. A decade ago. Ben Simmons is the first one that comes to my mind. I remember Cade Cunningham, too. Ben Simmons was the number one player in the country. He went to LSU. He went to LSU. In those days, what it was hire my AAU coach, hire my uncle, hire my dad, put him on your staff, somebody close to me, and that was the workaround for NIL. College football just caught up. They just caught up. And this is the world that we're going to occupy, I think, for the foreseeable future, where unless it's a case like Oregon and Notre Dame, where I think it's very, very sustainable, I think a lot of these places, it's going to be push all your chips in a specific recruiting class, hope like hell it works, and then will you come back the next year? That's the challenge in all of this. But the times have changed. They aren't changing. They've changed. This is different than what it's been for the last quarter century in terms of how to acquire and how to get kids signed.
I think with what USC did yesterday, it's commendable, but it's also, I think, something you're going to see as a cautionary tale. So the Trojans, of their 35 commits.
It's an unbelievable number.
That's compared to 21 by Oregon. 1 5-star for the Trojans. 4 5-stars for the Ducks. The average ranking or the average grade of their recruits is 91.80. Oregon's is 93.29. Ohio State's 91.83. And as you mentioned with the transfer portal, like, I'm really curious to see in 2 years how many of those recruits in USC's top-ranked recruiting class are actually still with the Trojans. Because it doesn't reek like Texas A&M's did a couple years ago, but it's starting to smell like it a little bit.
You think about that A&M, right? I mean, that's
best
the first
recruiting
thing
class
that,
maybe
that comes
ever.
To my, Yeah. I mean, that's what comes. Yeah, but it was loaded with defensive linemen. Like, that was one of those ones where Jimbo wanted that recruiting championship. Like, he saw the value in that. And they got organized and they got it locked in. But they remember, they had like 5, 6, 7 defensive linemen, all 4 and 5 stars in this. Rhyme Time, you live in the college basketball world. This is something that has been happening there for a decade.
Yeah, I was just looking at some past rankings just to find some other notable ones. And I remember Michael Porter Jr. was a top guy, went to Missouri.
There you go.
Anthony Edwards went to Georgia, and he had his coming out moment in the Maui when he went for, I think, like 37 against Michigan State.
Yeah.
But still, like, it's been happening in college basketball for a while, and it was the strangest thing because you would be like, these are kind of guys that you would expect at a Duke, a Kentucky, a Carolina, something like that, and they're ending up at these football schools playing basketball, though.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, Anthony Edwards never even played an NCAA. Didn't they have a losing record at Georgia?
Yeah, they were not good.
They were terrible.
Is that Tom Crean?
I think so.
I think it was.
Yes, it was.
I think Crean was all locked in, and they were going to, you know, let's get some money and make this work. And so it's been happening. It doesn't necessarily breed success, which gets us to what I want to get into next. And that is, if you are Ohio State, how do you maintain what you've built? What is the right path? I know they have the right guy on the planet to do it in Mark Pantone and Ryan Day atop, but how do you build it? What's the mix? We already saw a philosophical change this year in their recruiting class, and I think there's probably more of that to come. We'll get into that coming up next. We're off and running on a Thursday. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Winners of the prestigious Platinum Microphone Award every year, given to the best radio station in the world. No need to look it up. It's real. The Fan.
Timmy Hall.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Jackets are back at Nationwide for a battle with the Red Wings. Live fan coverage starts Thursday night at 7.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating and Cooling.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
A few light flurries around this morning, so watch out for slick spots. Other than that, a cold but clearing day. Temperatures will be in the upper 20s near 30 for the first half of the day, falling as we head into the evening. 10 TV Weather Impact Alert Day early Friday as the potential for single-digit morning lows comes back to the region. That's your latest 10 Weather Impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Michael Behrens on 97.1 The Fan.
We've been your Jackets flagship station since day one. All the goals, all the action, all the memories. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, The Fan, Ohio sports destination. First Friday miracles are always better with Uncle Bo. This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is, and for the first time since 2020, the Buckeyes are back in the Big Ten Championship game. The Fan has you covered. 11 hours of pregame coverage on Saturday. My goodness, 9 to noon, Fan Sports Saturday with Timmy and Tyvus. Noon to 2:30, Fan Sports Saturday with Reese and Tito. Then 2:30 to 4:30, the KeyBank Fan pregame show with Matty Ice, DeVere, and Dane. Then 4:30 to 6:30, Central Ohio Toyota Dealers Fan Tailgate Show with AR and Tim and Bids. 6:30 to 8, the Ohio State Sports Network pregame show with Skip, Paul, Jim, and Tyler. 11 hours, one goal. Get you ready for the Big Ten championship game only on the home of the Buckeyes, The Fan. Is Tim May going to do that show live and then drive to Indy?
He's done it before.
He did that the last couple of times, right? He did that at Purdue and he did it at Michigan?
Correct.
So it's 3, right?
West Lafayette was probably...
Or is it 2 to Indy?
I want to say it's 2. I mean, but if you're Leadfoot Tim May, probably...
I cannot believe he made it there before halftime on Saturday with the snow and everything. Yeah, the Michigan game.
That was nuts. What a human to make that decision to drive up there and get there before halftime. Unbelievable. All right. So National Signing Day in the books. We're still waiting on a couple guys. Chris Henry is at the kind of the center of all of this. He has been, his timeline's crazy. So he has been committed to Ohio State since 2023, since June of 2023, July of 23, actually late July, 2023. He's been committed. He was committed to Ohio State before he even got an Oregon offer. just for some perspective on that. He got an Oregon offer, didn't come until early January of 2024. All of the offers started to come in from there. He's a five-star kid. You got Jeremiah Smith saying, man, get over here, we need you. All of the reporting suggests that he's still hard commit to Ohio State, but I think the Heartline thing maybe changed things, and I think that opens up Oregon to start throwing some cash at him if that's something he's interested in. The last time that he visited the Oregon campus was November of 2024 for an unofficial visit. So he didn't even ever take an official visit anywhere other than Ohio State. He took one to Ohio State. He took it here last summer, and that's it. That's the list. He was here for the spring game as well. So Ohio State's kind of waiting on him a little bit. He would, and there's another one out there. I think another wide receiver's in the mix as well for Ohio State. Jaquardon Gulliford, a 6'2", 190-pound, four-star receiver out of Fort Wayne. He is committed but not yet signed as well. So you're still kind of waiting on those things. How you put together a team now is fascinating. Ohio State certainly relied more on the state of Ohio than they have in recent years, and those numbers are reflected in the class. But it's really a bigger question of how are you going to build a roster going forward? The man in charge of that is Mark Pantone. He is the ambassador of cool up there. He was available yesterday. I want to hear a couple of things with him, but let's start with the Chris Henry Jr. question. I'm guessing he's not going to be able to elaborate much on this, but here's Mark on that.
Chris Henry was a guy that was rumored to be considering flipping, and then obviously Brian leaves this morning. How hard was it to keep him in the fold, and what kind of an addition is he right to that class?
Well, I can only talk about guys who have signed right now.
He hasn't officially signed then? Okay.
So, and he still hasn't officially signed. That was interesting, too, and that's Bill Rabinowitz on the question. That's not necessarily Bill's fault because there was some ambiguity about that he had. I think CBS Sports was doing a live recruiting show and said he's signed and away we go. Because I remember we talked about it yesterday on our show, Reese.
Yeah, he had, when they did the press conference at Martyr Day, he had a placard in front of him that said Chris Henry Jr. And it had the Martyr Day logo and it had the Ohio State Block O. And so there was no cap putting on. There was no throwing another cap in the trash, which is unfortunate. Yeah. I think you should always take advantage to throw somebody else's hat in the trash if you can.
Yeah.
And it was... It was almost implied.
Yeah.
And then I think when they finally asked him to his face, and there just wasn't a fax. So if you don't get the fax, you don't have the kid.
No, you don't have him officially. He's still committed, and so you have to kind of act on that. You do wonder what the Heartline news yesterday had to do with that, or if it helped, if it hurt. It couldn't have helped, I don't especially think, but I don't know if it's necessarily a deal breaker. Mark was asked about Brian taking the USF job, which happened yesterday morning on the day of national signing.
He deserves it. He's done a tremendous job here, as everybody knows, not only recruiting, coaching up these guys, developing, and now as the offensive coordinator this season, having one of the top offenses in the country. He's done a tremendous job, so we're all very happy for him. I think we would all agree right now that Coach Day probably has about 50 missed phone calls from every wide receiver coach in the country who would love to come join here. So it's obviously very appealing. Obviously, Coach Day's going to go out and get the best person possible, but you know, Hart set the standard now. So, who's ever going to replace him? He's got big shoes to fill.
And Mark's probably the one guy that I'd like to talk to about a more sensible college football calendar. I've laid out my plan really for the last 4 or 5 years. Others are starting to come on board about it. He was asked about a more sensible college football calendar. Here's what he had to say:
Can there be a common sense schedule calendar?
There can, yes.
What does that look like? How far away is signing day? How far away is the portal? What would that look like?
Yeah, I'm not going to go with the specifics right now. I think it's a broader question where we have to get all the right people in the room and put our brains together. I mean, there's a lot of smart people that work in football that can have a greater voice, I think, and try to get some of these issues fixed.
I can fix it for you, bud. I can do it. Let me help. I can fix it like that. It's easy.
It does feel like it's got to be.
The only negative is you're not going to have guys on campus in January. That's it. Go ahead, Reese.
It's got to be Ryan Day kind of lead the charge on it because of the voices in college football, his might be the most influential, at least as of right now. Nobody's listening to Sherrone Moore. I don't know if Marcus's carries as much weight anymore. Kirby Smart, maybe. But it looks like maybe Ryan, Steve, and Kirby would have to get into the room and kind of figure it out from there, or at least figure out who they're putting pressure on. And then I think you start making real progress with that. But until the biggest names in the sport actually coaching-wise, you're still just going to have all of this.
I think you have a real problem when Rick Pitino is out here tweeting about the college football schedule, and he's complaining about, like, oh, yeah, it can be this way for college basketball, but what is it like this for football? That doesn't make any sense.
Can you imagine if the week of the first round of the NCAA tournament, not the Dayton games, the actual first round, if on the week of that was also the portal open National Signing Day? And you just leave.
Just chaos.
That would be absolutely crazy.
That's what college football is trying to deal with. Yesterday, Ryan Day is trying to coach a team to win its first Big Ten championship since 2020. In the morning, he found out his offensive coordinator is going to USF. He's trying to finish a recruiting class that includes probably being on the phone with Chris Henry Jr., convincing him to stay, getting Jeremiah Smith to tweet him saying, we need you. All of that has happened. That's one day. It's one day. Ryan was asked about National Signing Day, the postseason, the coaching changes. Here's how he navigated it.
Coach Meyer, Coach Tressel said this to me, you know, when I took the job. This job is bigger than any one person. And so Ohio State's been good for a long time. We'll continue to be good moving forward. So, you know, while there always will be these situations, you know, for whatever reason, good or bad, you know, we all aim for them to be good, that when we're doing well, people have opportunities. And that's part of it. And I think, you know, these recruits understand that. So when they come in, you know, the relationships matter. But they also want to see the stability of a program, that when they send their sons somewhere, they're going to be surrounded with the best. And that's my job. So my job is to surround these players with the best there possibly can be. And you've heard me say this before. I mean, you know, if you are an O-line coach, it should be O-line you. If you're a linebacker coach, it should be a linebacker you. And it's my job as the head coach to make sure that we're hiring guys and bringing guys in here to be the best.
We were so close to him saying, and it's my job to make sure we're NFL you. We're so close. I mean, we put that on a t-shirt like 5 years ago. We were so close. And it's my job to make sure we're NFL you. It was right there for him. I thought maybe he was going to tee up and say it. I think he's in a situation like, where he's just trying to put one foot in front of the other. Just, what's the next task? Let me do it. What's the next task? Let me do it. He's not sleeping. He's not eating. He's doing the best he can. I'm sure he sneaks over to the Tucker Center and he hits some tennis balls that to try to take his mind off it. But I'm guessing that's what his day yesterday was like, with just one foot in front of the other and try to get through it. And then there's still stuff that isn't completely sorted, like what's going on with Chris Henry Jr. And I do think they do need him. I think they do. They're going to lose Carnell Tate, and I don't know if he can come in and have that type of impact. He's not going to have like a Jeremiah impact, but they do need a another weapon in that group. And so there is need for him there. The Buckeyes swept the Big Ten awards. We'll get to that. By the way, speaking of the Big Ten, oh yeah, we're playing a number one versus number two on Saturday. We'll get into that in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, here's what's up on a Thursday. We are a little more than 48 hours away from a Big Ten championship game that will feature the number one team in the country versus the number two team in the country. I do think that with the exception of potentially the Big 12 title game, this is one where both participants really want to participate in it. Indiana is chasing some history. First time since 67 if they can beat the Buckeyes. I have to imagine this is the biggest game in the history of Indiana football. I have to think that it is, right? I mean, maybe at South Bend last year, but I think it's probably this one. I mean, this is real hardware that you're going to beat the number one defending national champions in your home state, in the biggest city in your state. If you pull it off, it's got to be the biggest game in the history of Indiana football. And then from the Ohio State side of it, what is at stake? Well, what's at stake is the one seed. which matters. What's at stake is hardware for a Big Ten championship, which hasn't happened since 2020. And I'm hearing from a lot of Buckeye fans, and including a couple of booster guys I know, who are not that interested in this game. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, don't play Jeremiah, this type of stuff. I don't think so. I think you don't play again until New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. My hunch is Ohio State will play New Year's Day. I think there's value in that. You're not going to play again for 3 weeks. You got plenty of time to get healthy. You got plenty of time to get right. And at stake is the number one overall seed, which is an easier path now. I mean, it's not, last year it was not the case. It was different because they had to do the buys to the top conference champions. That's out now. So being the one seed is going to give you more advantageous route through the college football playoff. It's going to assure you a bye. Now, I've said that I think both of these teams are going to get byes almost regardless, unless Indiana got bombed. I think that's the only scenario where they wouldn't be. And even then, I think Indiana would be the four seed. So to me, that bye and that hardware is worth it, let alone the Heisman. I mean, that's potentially could be at stake too by the time we get to all of it. There's a lot going on here. Julian saying is the guy obviously in the mix for the Heisman. I think Jeremiah could still be in there too. I think this award is pretty wide open. Julian was available yesterday and was asked about the Heisman and his candidacy.
No, not really focused on outside noise. You know, we have a job to do and we have a goal to go win the Big Ten. So we're going to focus on that as a team.
Where do you guys come down on the value of this game for Ohio State?
Huge. I think this is a game that everybody that's associated with Ohio State should want to win, should want to put their best foot out there. Now, if you sold me on like a pitch count for, say, Jeremiah's upper lower body injury flared back up, okay, maybe a pitch count. But I think if everybody's as healthy as possible, and I think they all want to go out and play this game, because it does favor Ohio State's offense on a warm stadium, open track. And for Indiana, this is the biggest game that they've ever had in their football program's history. And probably one of the biggest Indiana Hoosier athletic events of all time.
I think we've been hearing it all off season long and even during the season of Ohio State's main goals this year was, one, beat Michigan. They crossed that off. Now they want to win a Big Ten championship because they haven't done so since 2020. And now they have an opportunity to do that and still chase that perfect season. So I think that's, like you were mentioning, Bill, there's a lot on it, and this is one of those goals that they're trying to cross off.
Yeah, you want to build momentum off that Michigan game.
Yeah.
And I think you want to send, it's all about sending a message too. Like, this is a chance for everybody, everybody included, to make sure that the entire country is put on notice. Because even if Indiana or whoever, if Indiana goes out there and gets bombed, who are they getting bombed by? Same team that bombed everybody last year in the college football playoff.
And apparently Ohio State hasn't been tested.
I just pulled up the Saturday slate. A couple of things jump out to me. Number one, the get-in price. You want to talk about how important this is to the Hoosier and Buckeye Nation? The get-in price is $624 on the secondary market. That's the get in. The next highest, hardest ticket on Championship Saturday is the SEC title game between Georgia and Bama. That is $229. But you're at $624 to get in the door. So if Buckeye fan is fatigued, rest assured Hoosier fan is not. So this might be the rare instance, might be the only instance and the only circumstance where Ohio State isn't the home team in a Big Ten championship game. Any time that we've ever gone over there, we overwhelm the attendance. I'm not sure what this will be. This might be one of those rare instances where you're a road team and it actually feels like a road team. Obviously, the Buckeyes will be well represented, but that tells me that Indiana is jacked up to play in this game. I think it's probably the biggest sporting event. Indiana played for a national title in hoops. Early Jared Jeffries in the early 2000s. I think they lost to Maryland with Juan Dixon. Do I have that right?
Yeah.
And Steve Blake. But that team wasn't, I mean, I think they upset Kansas maybe in the Final Four to get there. Maybe Maryland beat Kansas. I can't remember, but I feel like they played in the national championship. 86, they won it. Or was it 87 they won it with Alford? But it's been that long since they've had anything like this. So, I think it's probably on that level from the Hoosiers' perspective. The other thing that jumps out to me, and if you don't take Indiana seriously, and I think a lot of the reason people don't, and we've talked about this, is the brand. People see that brand and they just don't believe it. If this was number one versus number two, and instead of that, the IU logo, which is a great logo, the IU interlocking, if it wasn't that, and instead it was Oregon or it was Penn State or, God forbid, Michigan, I think then you would have all of it. But I just think people don't take Indiana seriously. But I'm going to give you a number that should tell you that you should. The line for this game opened at 5.5. It's now 4. And I would probably argue that there's not another team in the country that Ohio State would be matched up on a neutral field where the line would be less than that. Maybe Georgia would be 3. Maybe. My hunch is Oregon would be right around here, 4, 4.5. Alabama would be more than that because Georgia's favored over Bama by 2.5. So Bama would be more than that. A&M would be more than that. Notre Dame might be around 4, 4.5. But that's probably the smallest number that you would get in all of college football. So while some of you might not respect Indiana, the folks in the desert do. And the money is coming in. And that number has been bet down 1.5 this week. That's noteworthy.
And I think it's, along with Vegas, the College Football Playoff Committee, who has had them ranked number two behind Ohio State the entire time they've been doing rankings this season. Like, Indiana nationally is second in points per game on offense and second in points per game on defense. Mm-hmm. Like, this is as balanced of a team as Ohio State will play. I think it's Indiana and Texas Tech, the two I would say is the biggest challenges for Ohio State because they're both so balanced. But I also think then the theme that Ryan Day's been, you know, saying since they won the national championship was this needs to be about us.
Yeah.
And so I think when you look at Ohio State and everything that they present, you look at a 4-point spread and you go, yeah, I feel pretty comfortable taking that.
Couple of guys weighing in on social. The great Wolfman, Matt, I've attended this game many times for as low as $90 a pop. He just pulled up the secondary market tickets from $7.71. Paul says, where can you find tickets for under $7.95? On ESPN right now, they're saying six something, but maybe it's even more than that. Maybe it is more than that in terms of just to get in the door when you actually go through all of the things to be able to do it. So, and to your point, this is the other thing about Indiana. Very good chance the quarterback of the Hoosiers goes number one overall. Dane Brugler put out a mock yesterday that had him going number one overall to the Browns.
Does this game have more NFL talent in it than any other game played this season? It's on a short list.
Yeah.
It's on a short list. I think
star
it's probably
power NFL prospects.
I think the Mendoza part, the fact that if he goes number one, I think that might give it to you. But I think probably overall, probably still Ohio State, Texas. Texas got a ton of NFL talent.
Did you put Georgia there too?
Sure. But it's on a short list. And I think there's so many different factors that make it that kind of a ticket. And I think everything we're saying gives more to this does mean something. This is an important game. So I just want to push back in the biggest way that this game doesn't mean anything. Because I disagree.
I heard from like diehard Buckeye fans who don't ever miss games. And just talking to one yesterday who's like, yeah, I'm not going. I don't care. Okay. All right.
If you're not going, you're missing out.
Yeah, I think it's gonna have a lot of juice to it, and I think winning that championship is gonna mean a lot. And if you go back to July and Ryan, you're right, they talked about it a lot. We talked about it, Reese. We were there in July and said we didn't talk about winning a national title. You just won one. You're not entitled to that every single year. We said beat Michigan, win the Big Ten. You haven't done it in a while.
And this game, the winning team gets to stand up there, hold up that Big Ten championship trophy, and actually gets to enjoy it for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't really get a chance to do that throughout the college football playoff last season because it was on to the next thing. And the national championship, yes, you got to enjoy for Ohio State, but then it quickly came to Texas and you still had Michigan in the back of your head. This doesn't have any of that.
You had to turn and try to fill a roster for next year. Like, Ryan Day was like, yeah, there's no rest, really. I can celebrate this for maybe a couple days, but transfer portal's open. I got to get active.
Do you think, I wonder if the Rose Bowl's on the line here, too?
Probably.
Would Indiana go there? Or do you think they would want something closer to them?
So what are the options, guys? I'll tell you what. We'll get the options on what could be at stake and the path that Ohio State would want. I also got some Big Ten awards from the defensive side to hand out. We'll get into all of that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Head to 971thefan.com to listen on demand and subscribe to all our podcasts. Wasting time has never been easier. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Getting cold feet.
Atlas Beller has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And Berm are back with a new daily podcast, the ultimate OSU football insiders. You know, it's refreshing to have some smart people working here from time to time.
The Beat with Austin and Berm on the 10 TV Plus app.
Subscribe today. It's almost Football Friday. All play and no work.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football, The Fan. Drink recommendations, movie reviews, sports discussion, and whatever the hell Reeser does. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, did we get the, what did we find out? What would be the preferred path?
So I think for Ohio State, the preferred game, probably the Rose Bowl, Cotton Bowl, Orange Bowl, Sugar Bowl are the options. From the CFP, the four highest-ranked teams will be assigned to playoff quarterfinals hosted by bowls. This will be done in consideration of historic bowl relationships and seeding.
So it's Cotton, Rose, Sugar, Orange?
Yep.
No Fiesta?
Fiesta and Peach are the semis.
Okay. Okay. I think if you're Ohio State, then you would want Orange or Rose first, and you would want to feed into Fiesta.
Yeah.
Those are the biggest alumni bases. I want to say that outside of here, I think some of the biggest alumni bases are in South Florida. I think it's the Broward one. I got a ball cap with one of them on there that's pretty cool. But I would say that while the Bulls want to do all of the nonsense that they do of, oh, win the Rose Bowl and all of that crap. Remember that? When you get the trophy and you're like, yeah, we got a game next week, dude. I don't care about this. Let's stop. Oh, we won the Rose Bowl. Nobody cares. We got another game. Like, your thing's over now. Okay? So I think if I'm Ryan Day, give me the Orange Bowl and give me the Fiesta Bowl as the feeder into the national championship game. If I'm the one seed, that's what I would go for. I would not want to have to go to California and play in the Rose Bowl. I'd much rather play in the Orange Bowl and stay on Eastern time. Massive alumni base, easy for your fans to get there as opposed to Los Angeles, those who want to travel down there. From a value standpoint, it's a wash, right? Southern California, South Florida, both warm, easy place, fun to go to, much closer. If I'm Ohio State and I win this thing, I'm saying give me the path that gives me Orange feeding into Fiesta.
Now, would it change your mind if the Orange Bowl site is also going to be the national championship place?
I think that makes it even more because now I'm familiar, right?
Get familiar with the spot.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the venue. I know the hotels. I know where I'm going to stay.
Can keep the routine.
Yeah, I think stay on East Coast time. And then the only reason I say Fiesta more than Peach, obviously, we could all get down to Atlanta pretty easily, but if that is an SEC team in the semifinal, you know, you wouldn't want to do it on their home turf necessarily. So that's probably why I would go Fiesta next, because that'll be Buckeyes. I mean, everybody in Ohio lives in Arizona too, it feels like. So.
Yeah, I was going to mention if chaos happens with the SEC championship and Georgia loses and they maybe drop down to four and you have Georgia on your side. You don't want to play them in the Peach, of course. That's right in their backyard.
No, no. And I think SEC champ, Georgia or Bama, I think the loser of the Ohio State-Indiana game is the four. The winner's the one. And then the two and the three, if chalk holds, will be Texas Tech and the SEC title will be the two and the three. If BYU beats Texas Tech, then I think it could get interesting. Like, is it something to where, like, does somehow Oregon get all the way up there to get a bye? Like, I think that could be interesting there. If BYU, they need, that committee really needs Texas Tech to handle business. And they probably need, I don't know that the SEC thing matters much. They could easily just move Alabama all the way up. But I don't think you want to have a scenario where Ohio State and Indiana potentially would play in a national semifinal. I think you'd want those opposites. So I think it'll be 1-4. I could make an argument. I could see an argument where if Alabama wins the SEC title game, they don't let them go above 4. And they're kind of just stuck there. That could happen too. But I think you're going to get them split. I guess the split would be Indiana would go to the 3 line, wouldn't they? A loss would put them on the 3 line, would put the SEC champ on the 2 line if it's Georgia, 4 line if it's Bama. Does that make sense?
That's what I'd had it as.
Yeah.
Just because I do think that little, it's a little bump. Because I don't, and the loser of the Big Ten championship game either lost to the highest ranked team or the second highest ranked team in the country. Yeah. So I go like, you know, with the SEC champ, it's Georgia or Bama. And they both have a regular season loss. So I think they'll put the SEC champ too.
That would make sense if it's Georgia, especially. Georgia's the 2, Ohio State's the 1, the 3 is Indiana, the 4 is Texas Tech. If Texas Tech beats BYU, I think that's how they would go there. If Texas Tech doesn't, then it could lead to all sorts of things. But I think that's the path I would want. I would want to do the Orange Bowl and then the Fiesta Bowl. Those are my best chance for home field. It's my best chance for the least amount of travel. Acknowledging that I'd rather not play an SEC team in, I don't think Ohio State's scared of anything, but I think ideally you'd rather not have to go on the road essentially in a national semifinal, which is what they want to do. They're not going to do that thing, right? Where they're making a big deal. Like if you win the Rose Bowl, they're done doing that, aren't they? Wasn't that one of the changes they made?
Oh, I don't know about that. I think the Bulls will still try to make a big deal of it.
Didn't they? I thought that there was something that they were going to try to get rid of that. That was one of the most awkward thing ever. Like coming out, like they beat Texas in the Cotton Bowl and the Cotton Bowl guy's out there trying to act like.
I remember the Rose Bowl guy in his giant red coat.
Yeah. Trying to make a big deal.
Trying to make a huge deal of this. It's like,
Dude, we got 2 more games.
No, sir.
What are you talking about? I don't care about this in any way. So I'll be curious to see how they manage all of that. We did have some Big Ten awards that were just dominated by Ohio State, as they should be on the defense. It's the best defense in the country. It's one of the best defenses statistically in the history of the sport. Caleb Downs cleaned up. Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, Big Ten Defensive Back of the Year, first team All Big Ten, no kidding. Caden McDonald as well. He's the Big Ten Defensive Lineman of the Year. Linebacker Arvell Reese, the Big Ten Linebacker of the Year. All told, Ohio State with 6 first team All Big Ten defenders. Downs, McDonald, Reese, Stiles, Curry, and Igbinosin all make first team All Big Ten. Caleb Downs was he a consensus All American as a freshman at Alabama?
Yeah, I think he can go for 3-time this year.
So he could get 3s. He could be there with 3s. That's a elite group when you think about. And he's going to do it in 3 years, not 4.
It's insane.
What I think is cool about Downs getting Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year is that's an understanding of what he does for the defense. Because statistically, you don't see it. You don't see the sacks. You don't see the interceptions. You don't see the pick sixes. But that tells me that the people who vote on these type of things watch some tape. And they saw what he's capable of. Arvell would have had a very strong case for that as well. But I think it's really cool how they split that up. And I do think that Caleb Downs is the straw that stirs the drink for this defense. And so I think that's very cool. My hunch is that he's going to be a consensus first team All-American. Reese is going to be a consensus first team All-American. McDonald's going to be in the mix as well. But for sure, those 2 guys are going to be consensus first team All-Americans.
I think the Chicago Tribune Silver Football is going to be announced Friday. I think you're getting offensive awards from the Big Ten later today. But I'd be curious to see where Downs lands on the Big Ten Player of the Year voting.
It's a good question. Because the quarterbacks could split it.
Yep.
Has a defensive player ever won it?
That's a really good question. Because I wondered at the beginning of the season, and I was trying to make a gimmick of this, that if you wanted to get Downs to New York City for the Heisman, then you would maybe have to give him some special teams or maybe a carry or two in like a red zone situation. They obviously didn't do that this season because that's kind of a silly thing if you're focusing on that one player to do it. But I can't remember the last time a Chase Young would probably come to mind as being
Aiden Hutchinson.
Okay.
Won it in 2021. So that's the last one. Last Buckeye to win it was Justin Fields in 2020. You're right on Chase Young. He won it in 19. Dwayne Haskins in 18. Braxton Miller won it back-to-back and was trying to be, before he got hurt, he was on pace to be the only three-time winner. He would have joined Drew Brees as a three-time winner of it.
It's crazy to me that CJ never won it.
We didn't win the Big Ten.
Yeah, that's true. That's a true point.
It's Aiden, it's Corum, and then Marv won it in 2023, I guess. I misspoke. Won it in 2023, so there you go.
He's an alien.
He was when he was here. By the way, you want to know, when you talk about like significance of award, you know who the first ever winner of the Silver Football Award was? Guy you've maybe heard of, Red Grange. So they've been doing that for a while.
Vertical 1924. Red Grange, Eddie George, Chicago Tribune Silver Football Award.
Holy cow.
They love those hyphens.
They do love that, yeah. All right, we'll open up the mailbag. Paul Feinbaum coming up at 10:30. Bishop and Friends are here on The Fan.
Just when you thought afternoons couldn't get any dumber.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you?
Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
Your home for dumb. The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Number one, Ohio State's a four-point favorite Saturday night in the Big Ten Championship. Buckeyes will play number two, Indiana, at Lucas Oil Stadium at 8 o'clock. It's been a busy week for Ohio State. Brian Hartline accepted the head coaching job at South Florida, but he'll stay on with OSU through the postseason. His departure had some effect on Ohio State's sixth-ranked recruiting class of 2026. The Buckeyes signed 25 commits on Wednesday, but are still waiting on the letter of intent from the top receiver in the class, Chris Henry Jr. Hear more from OSU's head coach today at noon on the Ryan Day Radio Show. On the ice tonight at Nationwide, the Blue Jackets host the Red Wings at 7:30. This morning, head coach Dean Evason told T-Bone and Scotty Vegas that Kirill Marchenko will be back on the ice for the CBJ. You can hear that game on The Fan with coverage at 7. This update is sponsored by Roosters. For every $50 you spend in Roosters gift cards this holiday season, you'll receive a $10 Roosters bonus buck. Available at Roosters locations or online at roosterswings.com.
Our top men are working on everything except this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour here on a Thursday edition of the program. Paul Feinbaum coming up in 28 minutes from now. Look forward to his tales on the Lane Kiffin saga over the weekend. But we kick it off with opening up that mailbag. Hit it, fellas.
Our comment box is always open. Any feedback is mostly appreciated.
The mail never stops. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. There's never a let up. It's relentless. Every day it piles up more and more and more. You got to get it up. And the more you get out, the more it keeps coming in. Again.
Bishop and Friends present Emails.
Sponsored by Nationwide Children's Hospital. Donate today to light up the lawn and light up the life.
Reese, we've always had MIT kids. They've done a great job for us. However, they have yet to get the email situation fixed. So in terms of people soliciting the email through the website, which they do at wide swaths, and we have the full access to that, for whatever reason, the last couple of weeks, I haven't had access to that. So the emails that I'm getting are the folks who are emailing me directly at the station email. So those are the emails I'm getting. I'm not seeing the ones that are being solicited through the website. So I'm thinking we need to fire the MIT kids and replace them with Caltech kids and see if those kids can be a little better. Or like maybe one of those guys. What's the big university in Switzerland?
Sure.
The CERN or whatever that is.
I just wonder if we want to be doing that before the holidays, man. That's true. Seems kind of cruel.
I do have a heart.
We'll try back again. We'll circle back on this at the beginning of the year. I'm sure so many people out there listening have heard that phrase uttered in the last week.
All right. There's still a great many of you who email directly, and those are the ones that are showing up. So I'm seeing all of those. Let's start with this one from Ty, who the subject matter is...
Did you not say the subject? Or did we... You insulted the MIT kids. And then a disappearance. See what happens? We're ready. people trying to take PTO. You take one shot at our IT department, and you're gone. Anything back there, Reimer?
Things just look froze right now.
It's one thing to do it in our regular segment, but because this is...
opportunity to impress this weekend.
All right,
did we glitch?
This is going to be awkward. I heard none of what you just said.
Yeah, we glitched.
We absolutely glitched. You insulted the MIT kids and then disappeared.
It was everywhere. It was on the YouTube live stream.
Everything.
Our teams froze up,
You Thanos vaporized yourself.
All right. Tell me, did we get the email in or no?
No.
All right. Let's start back there.
All right.
Tyler, the subject is Diego Pavia. He writes, I see the full SEC media train is behind Diego Pavia. He's everywhere. All the podcasts. Theo Von appears to be his handler. He's going to win the Heisman, isn't he? Please talk me off the ledge. How doesn't Diego Pavia win the Heisman? Well, here's the thing you got. And Reese is a voter. I'm a voter. And having been a voter as long as I have, and I want to say this goes back to like maybe 08. I've been a voter since then. The last chance to impress carries a lot of weight. And in terms of guys still in the mix, obviously you have the two quarterbacks in the Big Ten championship game. I still think Jeremiah's got an outside shot at it. And you're going to have that SEC title game. Like if Ty Simpson goes nuts and they beat Georgia again and it's on his arm, does that supersede what Pavi has done at Vanderbilt with the fact that he hasn't played in a week? I do think he's going to be invited. I don't think that it's a foregone conclusion that he wins, though, because I think you're kind of underestimating the power of that last weekend.
Especially the scenario you just laid out, because Southern voters are going to probably throw a lot of weight at a candidate. And Diego Pavia is getting a lot of love now. And I think the odds, the betting odds favor Pavia as the representative from the Southeastern Conference. But if that scenario that you laid out where Ty Simpson wills Alabama to an SEC championship win, then yeah, he'll take it over Diego. Because the biggest thing about this year, I think, will be the regionality of it all. And how some voters, like Dante Moore, is going to get love from the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
A linebacker from Texas Tech, Rodriguez, is going to get love from the Southwest. You're going to get a quarterback or a player out of the South. And kind of in our footprint, Jeremiah Love is going to get a lot of love. So it's all going to
be... No pun intended there.
There was not. No, I'm not that quick on my feet. There's going to be a lot predicated on what happens in closing arguments this weekend that Jeremiah Love won't get to have. Diego Pavia won't get to have. Dante Moore won't get to have. Mendoza, Sayin, Simpson, yes.
So Simpson statistically, guys, I just pulled it. I was just curious, like, has he done enough to where if he has a big moment Saturday, can he go above and beyond? He's 3,000 yards passing, so he's right there with, like, Mendoza and Sayin. They're all right around there. Pavi is right in that mix, too. 66% completions, 25 touchdowns, 4 picks. So that's kind of where he is in terms of the, you know, that part of it. The other thing that you always look, well, how did he play in the biggest games? He was pretty good against Georgia, at Georgia, in a game they won 24-21. He's 24-38, 276, 2 touchdowns, no picks. They went in the game against Pavia, which Alabama won 30-14. He went 23 of 31 for 340 and 2 touchdowns in that game. I wonder what Pavia did in that game. He was 21-35, 198, a touchdown and a pick. So not a lot. Is the short answer of that. But I think that this final argument that's going to happen in Indy and it's going to happen in Atlanta, I think they're going to carry some weight for a lot of voters. They typically do. This one from Brian, the subject matter says, update. A couple of weeks ago, I emailed if Georgia is in the best spot in regards to the playoff. Well, now Georgia is in the SEC title game. So now who's in the best spot in regard to the playoff? So I think I remember this email and we agreed with him. That Georgia was in the best spot. That was under the belief that they were going to have to play in the SEC title game. Weren't going to have to, and they were sitting there at the 5, and they're going to get to play the 12 or the 11. I think where I'm at now with this is that the team's in the best spot other than Ohio State, because if Ohio State wins and you're not playing again until New Year's Day, and that's better than having to play even a group of 5 or having to play the lame duck winner of the ACC. I think the teams that I'm staring at, I'm looking at Oregon. It feels to me like Oregon's kind of locked into the 5 slot is kind of how I feel about it. So if they're in the 5 spot, let me pull this up. You're thinking if you're Oregon, you're in the 5 spot, you're getting Tulane or you're getting North Texas. or maybe even James Madison at your place, that's a spot I'd like to be. And then if you win that game, you might be playing Texas Tech in a quarterfinal. That's one where you're going to have more talent than them. So I think Oregon, I think that five spot's where you want to be. Don't sleep on six. If Ole Miss stays at six, that's a nice spot too.
I also think for Oregon, they've had injuries to their wide receiver core. You're not playing this weekend. You're not playing next weekend. If you're playing in the first round of the playoff, you can put some of those guys like DeCorian Moore on pitch counts if it's a lesser opponent. Like if you've got the group of five, mm-hmm. you probably don't need them to win that game. But in a quarterfinal or in a semifinal, you absolutely need them. So you've given yourself some time to get right health-wise.
It's not going to happen, but say chaos happens and Texas Tech loses.
I hope mm-hmm. chaos does happen.
But if it's not going to happen because they don't have their head coach in Lane Kiffin, but Ole Miss's resume is better than Oregon's. So, like, if Texas Tech loses, do they make a real case at being that four seed? But they don't have their head coach. It's just why I don't think they would get that.
I'm curious. That's a good point. I'm very curious where... I'm very curious what would happen with exactly what you just said. Because Oregon did keep their... I'm sorry, Ole Miss... Weiss is coaching the offense. So they don't have Kiffin, but they do have they have a play caller that they're familiar with. The other thing I don't know what they're going to do with is Texas A&M, who's been three the whole time, and then they just dropped them four spots with a loss at Texas, which seemed really overly punitive for them. I understand that they didn't play the schedule that necessarily Ole Miss did, but I think that's probably a fascinating thing, too. The BYU winning the Big 12 is a monkey wrench that they... want to avoid at all cost. If that happens, then I see no scenario where Notre Dame or Miami get in at that point. I think that would knock the Irish out. That would knock them. Yeah, and I think obviously Miami would be out too. I think both would be out if BYU beats Texas Tech. I think Texas Tech is absolutely in. We'll continue with the mailbag. Got one on National Signing Day, one on Brett McMurphy and his reporting and the lack of the validity of it. We'll have some fun with all of that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
A lot has changed in 30 years, but we're still that old shoe that feels worn in and well-loved. And well, we smell a little, but whew, you've accepted that. The Fan.
James Laurinaitis here.
Atlas Beller has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Radio show, and we air it. What are the odds? Join us Thursday at noon for the cleverly named Ryan Day Show.
Presented by Roosters, a fun casual joint.
Every game, every season, your home for Buckeye football, The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Be careful for a few slick spots as flurries push through the region this morning. After that, skies should clear, but temperatures don't warm. We'll stay in the upper 20s to near 30 before temperatures fall this evening. 10 TV Weather Impact Alert Day in place as we head into early Friday, with temperatures that could drop down to the single digits by Friday morning. Clear skies through the rest of the day Friday, high near 30. That's your latest 10 Weather Impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Michael Behrens on 97.1 The Fan.
T-Bone and Tybus are everything you want in a delicious breakfast. Lots of empty calories, no nutritional value.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
The Fan. The best hair on the air. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
And as always, we are proudly brought to you by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for over 78 years. Mailbag continues on. This one from Bryce. The subject is National Signing Day. How much juice has National Signing Day lost since the transfer portal? Also, seeing kids of players I cheered for makes me feel old. And, oh, by the way, is Penn State ever going to have a coach? Yeah, I mean, I think the bigger issue is the timing of National Signing Day. I think that takes some of the juice out of it, the fact that it just shows up in December now. It's been here for a while, but I think that adds to it. The fact that it shows up in Championship Week adds to it for sure. If it's something you're into, though, it still had all of the intrigue that we expect and are used to from National Signing Day. We still had late flips. We had moms not signing things. Like, all of those things happened. So I still think it had all of that, and I think for the folks that are in it, it still has all that juice. But the one in February stood alone. It was its own day. I mean, it was kind of like the NFL draft. was for the NFL, or the way the first day of free agency is for the NFL. Like, it had that type of juice to it, and now it doesn't. It kind of gets lost because, oh, by the way, we have real football games to be played this weekend. So I do think all of that, those things factor into it. I feel very old when guys that I covered in high school, especially in the South, guys that I covered when they were in high school or went to their national signing days, when their kids are signing. That's when I start. Then it's like, oh, yeah, you're old. That's the part that sucks on that. As for Penn State, Bryce, I have no clue. I said this yesterday with the Nittany Lions. I think they're at a point now. I mean, they had their national signing day class. It was actually worse than the University of Montana's.
They were ranked 150th by 24/7 Sports.
What, they have three kids?
I see two.
Yeah, and I saw people asking Franklin, like, you know, and he really has, he's got his antennas up all the time. He's like, people saying, why are you stealing Penn State's class? And he's like, man, these are the kids I know. And I don't blame him. Like, what do you want him to do?
Yeah.
What do you expect him to do? If you had a coach hired, perhaps that wouldn't have happened. I really think they're at a point now where the interim has to be the head coach. I think Terry Smith has to be it, because otherwise I don't know how they field a team. It seems like the kids on that team still would want him to be the coach, and they want to play for him. They did play hard for him. Obviously, you punted on National Signing Day. You can't put that genie back in the bottle. But you need to portal. And most importantly now, though, you have to keep your team intact. So I don't see a scenario how it's anybody other than Terry Smith at this point. There's nobody else out there that could come in and save it and keep that roster intact.
Yeah, there's no any of the recruits, any of the class of 2026, I think you punt completely on. You still have a day and a half, a little more than a day and a half, because the early national signing period closes on Friday. So if you make the Terry Smith announcement today or tomorrow, maybe there's something you can salvage from this. But it's roster retention and then trying to utilize the transfer portal a lot better than James Franklin did. Because the last 2 years, the Penn State portal needs were not addressed.
No, I wonder if they even thought about, like, Bill O'Brien, who just got the dreaded vote of confidence at Boston College. Like, he was there. He won there. I don't know that he'd want to go back to State College. Like, I mean, he's got some, you know, some personal needs in terms of health care that's required for one of his children. So I think he likes the Boston area better. I think that's part of the reason why he left to begin with. But and I still wonder, you know, I wondered about Luke. But, like, to me, I think they're past all of that. It's too damn late. I think that they have to hire the interim and roll the dice a little bit with that. Fellas, they could fall off a cliff.
I was going to ask, could they become Nebraska?
Yes.
Just be a middling Big Ten team?
They're on their way to doing that with Franklin, and then this debacle. Like, if they run it back with Terry Smith as the head coach, Jim Knowles as defensive coordinator, and Andy Kotelnicki as their offensive coordinator with, who knows? I mean, it was Gronkenmeyer, their quarterback, next year. Yeah, so we'd just like to be bowl eligible, is what that screams.
Can't believe their game with Rutgers was the bowl, basically.
Gets a bowl.
Have you been over there?
To Happy Valley? No.
Reese, you haven't either, right?
I've never been over there.
It's a real outpost. I mean, it's really the middle of nowhere. It's awesome. It's a really cool campus. It's a very specific thing that you're selling. And that's why I kind of understood where they were going with the BYU thing, because I think there's some similarities, obviously not the religion part of it, but just a very specific player that would want to play there. But I think it has all the feels, but I think it could be. You know, it's one of those that can happen anywhere, but especially places where you have some recruiting disadvantages that are very real. Like, Nebraska has those, in that every recruit, it's got to be a plane ride to go recruit them. And it's something they've never really been able to get over since they moved to the Big Ten. And I do think for Penn State, it could be similarly. That could be a similar case where if they don't have somebody, you got to have somebody who can sell it. And it's one of those things where, while I wanted more for Penn State, maybe, and I used to say this all the time about Penn State, it felt like they for the most part, their fan base was kind of okay with what Franklin was doing. They were kind of okay with him losing to Ohio State and Michigan. They 10-2 is good. Like, that was fine. It wasn't until this year where they were number two in the country and it just completely unraveled for them that they finally had enough. But one of the big fears that a lot of folks you talked to over there had was, man, we miss on a coach. can we end up in a Brady Hoke world? Can you end up in a Rich Rodriguez world at Michigan? Can you end up at like Nebraska? Can you end up being a museum program? And Michigan got lucky that Harbaugh wanted to coach them and it flipped it. But if he didn't, who knows what happens there? And Michigan's a better job than Penn State, I'll acknowledge. But part of that stuff is pretty real. So it definitely could. This one from Robert, loyal listener. Bo, are you guys going to throw out some love for Bishop Watterson and Olentangy Orange? Watterson is playing in their third straight state title game against Toledo Central Catholic. By the way, they have 11 straight running clock games. They've been absolutely dominant, Robert. We have talked about both of those teams. I think what I've mentioned this before on the show. I think whatever is happening in youth sports in Olentangy, in the Powell area, the Olentangy schools, that's the model, not just in the state of Ohio, but honestly nationally. Those are public schools. They're not recruiting. It's public schools, and they're winning state championships in football, in basketball, in baseball, in hockey, in lacrosse. Like, and it's boys and girls. Like, there is a development thing that is happening there, and I'm waist deep in it with my kids, and I see, like, when youth is developed correctly, what it can do. There is something happening in the grassroots up there that is setting them apart. I mean, Liberty had all that success last year. They won the football and the lacrosse, and I think they won the hockey. Orange won state basketball last year, and now I think they're the favorite, according to Reflog. They're the favorite to win the Division I football championship this year. That's awesome. Watterson's got all those Buckeye guys, kids on that team. That team's been a
good genes
for a long time.
On both of those squads.
Very good. Yeah.
Interesting, like Watterson's, their last loss was to Toledo Central Catholic in the 2023 title tilt. Since then, haven't lost a single game.
It's amazing.
No, that one's tomorrow at 3 o'clock. They're playing at Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium. And your D1 title tilt's going to be Friday at 7:30.
So tomorrow at 3 is Watterson?
Yep.
All right, we'll have Bake on because he's up there. What do you know what game he has?
He is calling tomorrow's D4 title tilt, Glenville and Shelby. It's at 10:30 in the morning.
And they're all at Tom Benson now, right? Yep. They don't have any in Massillon? Okay. Do they have one tonight?
I believe so. It'd be Division II, Avon and Cincinnati Anderson.
Oh, okay. My nephew plays for Avon, so there you go. This one from the great Snagglepuss. The subject is turkey. Uncle Bo, I convinced my mom to cook a turducken yesterday, being Thanksgiving. Instead of ordering one from one of the turducken websites, she went so far to build one herself, which caused me concern, but I went with it. Fabulous. It's exactly what I thought. The fat from the duck made all layers of chicken and turkey juicier than hell. I don't know that I can confirm that hell is juicy, but I'll let you roll with that, buddy. The stuffing from the inside the bird was the best stuffing ever. I fully understand and moderate respect your take on turkey, so I just wanted to throw this out there in case you want to try something new next year. Snagglepuss, you're proving my point on the turkey. You are having to, like, Hannibal Lecter, three birds together.
You needed to stuff a chicken and a duck in it.
To get flavor, man. Like, that's the problem.
And how long did that whole thing take? Did he say in the email?
Oh, my God.
I need a follow-up.
How are you sawing that? How are you sewing it together and stuffing it in? And
also, today I learned this at a turducken website.
That's unbelievable.
Get your turduckens in time for Christmas. Turducken.com. Eric Reiser here for turduckens.
How much does one cost?
An uncooked turducken, I'm going to guess, I mean, it's three carcasses. What parts of the carcasses do you stuff into them, I wonder?
Oh,
I mean, what's your number on that? I'm going to guess like $29.99 or $39.99.
Yeah, I'll probably go in that $30 range.
I'm seeing a 15-pound turducken for $115.
Oh, gosh. Holy cow. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God. Well, the lives of three animals were needed to make that thing happen.
Well, there is a turducken.com. You get a 15-pound turducken with cornbread for $165.
Oh,
it serves 20 to 25.
Oh, okay.
Approximation, right, so that's from turducken.com.
You could feed a VFW with that. Reese, your lady friend is a renowned chef.
Oh,
if
yes.
Did you ask her, like, if she were to cook a turkey, how would she do it? I know you were smart enough not to, but...
I haven't asked that, no. It's honestly right. Just, what do you feel like cooking?
Yeah. Do some recon for me. I'd be curious, like, with some of her skills, if she was to try to make it good, how would she do it?
She'd look at me. I can see right now. We don't
because it sucks. It's an inferior bird. Paul Feinbaum in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends are here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Bishop and Friends present college football's most polarizing figure.
Oh, Bob, listen to me.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? Come on back to our show, Tim. The audience hates you.
This is ESPN's Paul Feinbaum,
sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
For all your roofing, siding, and gutter needs, contact the Roofing Guys at theroofingguys.com.
Quite a week down there, buddy. We're going to get to all of it, but I do want to do the odd thing and actually start with football. And so I'll pose this question to you. Is anybody down there any good?
No, we're all terrible. You know, it's a good question because Vanderbilt maybe. The problem with Vanderbilt's really good. They just didn't play anybody. They didn't beat anybody that was really that significant.
Yeah, I asked because I watched Iron Bowl. I watched Texas A&M. I saw Georgia. I saw Georgia, who I think probably in my head, I was like, okay, they maybe have the talent to go with Ohio State. But if memory serves, they had three freshman offensive linemen starting against Georgia Tech, and they couldn't really throw the ball with much effectiveness. Bama can't run it. Texas A&M can't chase it. And so I'm just curious, like, as we stand here, SEC title game in little more than 48 hours, and then the playoff to come after that, who's the best down there?
Well, there isn't one defining team. Until last Friday night, Bo, I would have said Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. But they were exposed. Georgia in some ways looks to be the best, but they're without their center. And you saw in the Georgia Tech game how inept they were without him. So I can't take, and what are, I mean, Ole Miss has been really good at times, but that's a story for a moment and from now. there is not an elite team. There are a lot of really good teams.
When you watch what Ohio State is, who down there do you give the best chance to beat them?
Probably Georgia, because they kind of lull you to sleep. But right now, I couldn't say, even with all the SEC network money that goes into my bank account, I couldn't say that an SEC team could beat Ohio State right now.
All right, now the fun part. What's the real truth on how this went down with Kiffin at LSU?
The real truth is that Kiffin has been looking around for a very long time, and he wasted no time once the job started getting open. He met with the Florida athletic director in early to mid-November. He met with the LSU athletic director not long after Brian Kelly left. He talked to the governor. He has been actively searching for an alternative. It popped up yesterday that even Florida State showed up on his radar screen, although that was never going to happen. Mm-hmm. And nor was Ole Miss ever going to happen, in spite of all the nonsensical things that Lane Kiffin said down the stretch. It came down between Florida and LSU. Scott Strickland, the AD from Florida, did not vibe well with Kiffin. He started looking for a GM before the hire, which ticked Kiffin off, and became a very clear and coherent choice that he was going to LSU.
Okay, for our audience here, because I've gotten this a lot over the last week, is what I hear is, look, he's got a team that can win a national championship now. They may be in the most enviable spot. They're either going to be the 5 or the 6 by the time this all shakes out, so they'll have a very favorable matchup. They're going to get a home game. They've had great recruiting class. Heck, I think Hugh Freeze had the number one recruiting class there. What is so wrong with Ole Miss that would have him look elsewhere? And that's something where I think when you have the intellectual knowledge that you do of that area and that conference, you can properly answer where I struggle. I've been to a lot of those places. I've not been to Oxford.
It's a great place, but I think the feeling was it's good. It's occasionally great, but it's not elite. And I'm trying to think of a comparison up there of a really good program, but it's just never going to be at the top. And the good thing about LSU, it's been there so many times. Everyone knows Brian Kelly is the only coach since 1999 at LSU that hasn't won a national championship. And he probably came in easily the most accomplished, including even Nick Saban at the time he was hired. It is true that Nick Saban told Lane Kiffin that that is the best job in the SEC, and that's pretty rich coming from a guy who won six national championships at Alabama. But part of it is the state. You've been down there. There's only one other team in the whole state that anybody cares about, and they don't care that much about them right now, and that's the New Orleans Saints. Yeah. Recruiting is not as critical as it used to be, Bo, but it's helpful when every kid in Louisiana grows up wanting to go to that school, where in Alabama and other places, there's usually a choice.
Is he worth all of this?
The answer is no. I don't think he is. And you know my relationship with Kiffin. Mm-hmm. For all the great of Lane Kiffin, I've never seen him be consistently great. This year he was good. Let that one game get away. Didn't really matter that much. The game against Georgia, he won some other close games, but he's always managed to underwhelm at the worst possible moment. And I think anybody could win a national championship in Baton Rouge. I mean, mm-hmm. Les Miles did it. Ed Orgeron did it. Mm-hmm. Brian Kelly really never came close, and he's actually a better coach than those other two guys I mentioned. You can do it, but the problem with the SEC is the grind is bad. Kiffin is impatient. It would surprise me if he won one, but it would surprise me if long term he is there and successful.
Paul, what did you make of the pivot Florida made, and then Auburn getting Alex Golish, who's a Columbus guy. He was Dublin Scioto, which is a local high school here, and he was on the Ohio State staff as well. What do you make of the Auburn and Florida hires?
What's amazing is Auburn coveted John Sumrall and ended up losing him. I think they did better with Alex Golish. I really like him. He handled everything so well. Sumrall, to me, defensive guy at Florida, that doesn't work. They're pining for another Steve Spurrier and Urban Meyer, and they've never been able to come close. Dan Mullen was the closest thing, and, mm-hmm. and he failed.
Yeah, and maybe they should have stuck with Dan. He actually won 10 games there. There was a little bit of success. I know he didn't like to recruit, but one of the things that I'm getting a lot from my neighbors up here in Pennsylvania is, man, they really thought that there was a chance with Kalen DeBoer at Penn State. Do you buy any of that?
I don't. Kalen DeBoer, to me, likes where he is, and there's no comparison between Alabama and Penn State.
No.
And I think the problem with Penn State is they're finding out that they're not as good as they think they are. It has been truly one of the most embarrassing coaching searches I have ever seen. I don't know how you can swing and miss that many times. Matt Rhule looks pretty good right now, doesn't he?
Paul, I think they're going to have to hire the interim because they had three kids sign on signing day. They're gonna have a mass exodus. They're not even able to field a team if they don't hire the interim. I think the interim at least can keep Terry Smith can keep the roster somewhat together so that they can field a team. But this is the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen. And did you see the story that maybe Jimmy Sexton, who's kind of the super agent down there, and I've talked about him here on the show, so the audience is relatively familiar, and not just down there, but in the college coaching in large. Do you buy that he's in a way sabotaging this because of some relationship with the AD?
It's always possible. I know an AD. I'm going to go ahead and tell you who he is. The former AD at LSU, Scott Woodward, mm-hmm. told me once that he said, my next hire will not be a Jimmy Sexton client. And he wasn't. It was Brian Kelly, who mm-hmm. I think was part of the Trace Armstrong group. And that happens. Sexton is Machiavellian. Sexton has grabbed a lot of coaches away from people saying, listen, if you don't sign with me, you will never be able to field the staff, because he not only controls the head coach, he controls all the assistant coaches, and also he controls some of the agents. I came pretty close to doing a book on Sexton a couple of years ago, and I abandoned it after about a month because it really wasn't worth the aggravation. It would have been a great book, though.
Yes, it would have. I'm sure that it would have. One of the other things
right now, but it would have been a great book.
One of the things that we hear, and we heard this from the caricature that is the Louisiana governor, when he, you know, we're never doing this again. We're not doing these buyouts. And then Kiffin's getting $91 million. By the way, Lane saying he doesn't know how much money he's making is absurd. Just a silly, stupid thing to say. But this whole idea of, we're going to change all this, we're going to pay all of this, and then you do it anyway. Why can no one in college athletics learn a lesson?
Well, because the governor, what he said was true. And then he went down to the coffee shop and everybody said, are you going to get Lane Kiffin? He realized the votes are in Lane Kiffin, not in standing up for principle. Nobody will stand up. You don't want to be the former AD who stood up to Jimmy Sexton and is now trying to get a job as the assistant AD at Mercer.
I'll get you out of here on this one. Are both teams in the SEC title game in the playoff no matter what?
No, I don't think it's automatic. Now, everybody this week tells me Alabama's in just because they moved ahead. But if they have a sloppy performance, and let's say they lose by three touchdowns, and Ty Simpson gets knocked out of the game and is out for the season, I think the committee will keep them out.
If he doesn't get knocked out for the season and they lose the game and they're left out, does Sankey stop playing the SEC title game next year?
No, but he'll figure out a way to threaten. By the way, this is where the Tony Petitti thing has hurt him. If he had Tony Petitti as a running brother, which he used to, he could make a lot more noise. But that the dissolving of that relationship has hurt both conferences. I know I got away from your question there.
No,
it's a real issue. And these conference championship games are probably dead anyway in a couple of years.
Yeah, they got to get on the same page again. They got to find a way to mend that. Maybe you and I can help. Good talking to you as always, buddy.
Thank you both. See you soon.
There he goes. Paul Feinbaum, the Paul Feinbaum Show on ESPN, of course, the SEC Network, joining on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We'll do a little thing or not a thing up next. Bishop and Friends, right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Free. This is a Daily Show with Coach Jake Diebler, brought to you by Encova Insurance. What's kind of been the whole transition of Devin Royal getting back to his natural position and the things that make him the best at that?
Well, still utilizing his versatility and ability to play at multiple levels offensively is important. The biggest thing he's got to do is continue to grow on the defensive side, because he's, you know, oftentimes being tasked guarding maybe faster and smaller guys, where we can take advantage of that on the offensive end, certainly. On the defensive end, he's got to continue to utilize his length and, you know, really could gain experience being in positions on the perimeter where you got to have a little bit more, you know, ability to anticipate and awareness of what could be happening next.
Okay, we'll have another comment in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, 2-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the field. That's why Encova Insurance and their local independent agents are prepared for what's next and protect what matters most to you. Whether that's your home, car, business, or family, Encova's got your back with a policy that fits you perfectly. With local independent agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova's playbook is an easy win for your peace of mind. You can trust their team of agents to develop a strategy that's just right for you. And it's not just X's and O's. Your expert agent will guide you and provide insurance solutions so you can confidently manage your risk and count on a financially secure future. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you. Encova is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
Go behind the scenes of one of the most recognizable landmarks in all of college athletics with a tour of Ohio Stadium presented by Experience Columbus. A seasoned redcoat will be your guide as you make your way through walls of the stadium into the press box and onto the field. Upgrade to the VIP package and get special access to the band center and the Ohio State home locker room. From corporate outings and school groups to single-person tours and small families, Ohio Stadium tours offer a variety of options and pricing. For more information, visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com and book your tour. Ohio Stadium Tours, presented by Experience Columbus.
At Ohio State, we are the never afraid to innovate teams and the improve people's lives teams. Together, we are the Ohio State University.
Jake, when I ask you about Amari Bonham, a freshman that's certainly shown his impact early on, is part of the excitement is that his ceiling is still there to be reached?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, he'll get there because he approaches the game the right way every day. He plays with great energy and toughness for a young player. And, you know, the game will slow down for him with the more experience he gets. So we're really excited about what he's been able to do so far this year and, you know, the direction he's headed in.
This is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
Toyota-thon is on, and there's no better way to get in the spirit of the season than with a new Toyota, like the family-size Highlander and the bigger, more powerful Grand Highlander. Now through December 1st, you can get 4.75 APR financing on any remaining new 25 Highlander or Grand Highlander, including hybrid models, with approved credit through TFS. Plus, you get Toyota Care 2 years no-cost maintenance. For complete details, go to toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
'Tis the season to be hungry at Roosters. That's why for every $50 spent on Roosters gift cards, you'll receive a $10 Rooster Buck back in your stocking. May your holidays be filled with friends and family, love and laughter, and of course, Roosters Wings. Go to roosterswings.com today or drop by any Roosters location to purchase your $50 holiday gift cards and receive a $10 Rooster Buck in return. Happy holidays from all of us at Roosters. Roosters, a fun casual joint.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
If you love a good pie analogy,
think of the cap as a pie. And once you take out one piece, there's less left for the next guy.
Then this is the radio show for you. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing on a Thursday edition. Hit it, Reese.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
All right, Bo, you had mentioned the Jimmy Sexton scuttlebutt with Paul in that last segment. A report by Thomas Frank Carr of On3 says Penn State's coaching search has netted 8 coaches an estimated $370.8 million in extensions and new contract money. You got Matt Rhule extended at Nebraska, Satake extended at BYU, Cignetti at Indiana, Mike Elko at A&M, Drinkwitz at Missouri, Clark Lee at Vanderbilt, Brohm at Louisville, and then Bob Chesney being hired at UCLA. Thing or not a thing?
God almighty, how'd they miss on all that? How do you miss on all of it? I mean, it's just... I don't even know, like, what's the... Well, I told you, I think they got to hire the interim. I think they're going to hire Terry Smith and try to keep it together. And, you know, you're not going to get any recruiting. You're just going to try to piecemeal together. But this could set them back years, man. And they missed on all of those guys. I think Paul is right that they kind of got exposed for a much more difficult job than they thought they had. And so I think that's part of it. Chesney was probably the one they should have hired, and he probably just got offended because they were chasing other people. But that's probably where they should have gone. My hunch is they didn't think there was any way that Satake would ever say no to them. And that's how Chesney got to UCLA, and now I think they're stuck. I don't really know that that's a stunning stat, though, that they tried for all those cats.
Yeah, I think it's a thing because, like we were just mentioning a little bit earlier, that like they could become Nebraska, essentially. Just a team that has high expectations year in, year out, and they're just going to be middle of the pack and not really competing for much. And like with this calendar that we've been talking about so much, you need to get somebody in there quick so that you can kind of get a roster or a look at what you could potentially have for next season.
By the way, this is awful for the Big Ten.
Oh, yes.
Awful.
Yep.
If they fall off a cliff, it's awful.
Because your hopes for less Big Noon if you're Ohio State, they go with Penn State.
Yeah, it's gone.
Bud Elliott covers college football at 24/7 Sports. So it's 24/7 Sports and On3 that are the two biggest recruiting services. They do the biggest rankings of college football, college basketball recruits out there. And Bud Elliott had this yesterday, a decade ago. 85 points in the 24/7 Sports recruiting rankings was the gap between the number one class and the number 16 class. Today, 85 is the gap between the number one and the number 32. 50 was the gap from first to eighth. Now, first and 16th. Talent is spreading out so much, everyone has hope. End quote. Thing or not a thing?
It's a massive thing. I mean, we talked about this off the top. I mean, this is how the number one player in the country is at Houston, right? Everybody has NIL. If you're not willing to pay me, somebody else will. You have desperate programs that are looking to make splashes that are overpaying for players who are not worth what they're paying for. But as I say that, the counter to that is they're worth whatever somebody's willing to pay them. So that's why this has happened. It absolutely has changed the landscape of the sport, and I don't know if it's for the better or the worse. We'll see. But my hunch is more teams being good is a positive thing. I don't know if this will ever even out or if it'll ever correct itself. Who knows? But those stats are staggering. That's staggering stuff, that the talent is being spread out in that way.
Yeah, outside of Ohio State just totally dominating, I want more parity with a bunch of different teams that you're not really familiar with in the conversation of potentially being a contender, getting into the playoff. I mean, I will bring in college basketball here. If you look at the top 25, outside, like, you're starting to see some programs starting to separate as title contenders in the top eight. Mm-hmm. But from 8 to 25, I feel like they're all still legit Final Four, deep run NCAA tournament caliber teams. And it's right now we're looking at an ACC team potentially not even making the college football playoff because the conference is that bad.
Yeah.
I want to see more parity in the sport, and this is great.
Appearing on Super Talk Mississippi Wednesday, Ole Miss Athletic Director Keith Carter.
What a name. Super Talk Mississippi?
That's what we should just, if we ever change from the fan. Super Talk Columbus.
Super Talk Ohio. It's amazing.
Keith Carter pushed back on Lane Kiffin's allegations that he was blindsided when he was told he could not coach the Rebels after taking the LSU job.
There's been a lot of things he said publicly that I'm not sure are totally accurate. You know, I think that both coach and his representation knew, you know, several weeks ago that the coaching in the playoffs was not going to be an option if he was not the Ole Miss head coach. And, you know,
so finding out at 8:30 on Sunday morning for the very first time that he would not be coaching the playoff is not accurate?
No, that's not accurate. That's not accurate. The only thing that was a little bit of a wrinkle in it, Richard, was the fact that if Auburn had beaten Alabama, we were going to play in the SEC championship. That threw a little wrinkle in it, not to say he would have coached in that game, but with the shorter time period, that was maybe the only little nuance to it. But absolutely, it was very clear that, you know, coaching in the postseason was not going to be an option for Coach Kiffin, you know, a few weeks ago.
Thing or not a thing.
What was your favorite lie? Of course, this is the real truth, and I mean, it's a thing, and of course, it's a no-brainer. Like, the idea that Nick Saban and Herb Street and those guys went on game day and were like, he ought to be able to coach his boys. Are you kidding me, dude? Like, are you kidding me? Why would you ever let the wolf in the hen house? You never would. He's going to poach the staff. He's going to poach the roster. He's going to do all. You think Austin Simmons is going to be at LSU? The kid who's supposed to be the quarterback this year? He's going to be at LSU. Like, that's what's happened. Of course. No, you could never do that. So everybody knew that. I think my favorite lie, just blatant, stupid lie that he told, was the idea that he has no idea how much money the contract is worth.
Like, yeah, his agent does all of that. He's not worried. He just wants to do ball, Bo.
Just wants to coach ball. But that and the fact that the dog that he had that had his own Instagram account didn't even live with him.
So is it not his dog?
It doesn't seem like it. Why is the dog not on the jet?
I don't know how the host kept a straight face through that first part of the answer about not knowing. Like, oh yeah, he knew well before. That is absolutely wild.
Just nuts. He told so many lies, it's like it became his truth. You hear people talk about this with people who are pathological liars, that they tell the same lie over and over again, that it becomes their truth. And that's what I think happens with this guy.
He was too deep into it that he just kept digging the hole deeper.
Just kept lie upon lie upon lie, and next thing you know, it's his truth. And you don't know anything other than that. But that's crazy. And I don't know what's more crazy, the all of the Kiffin nonsense or where Penn State is right now. My hunch is it's Penn State. It's just not as covered as much just because of for a bunch of reasons. But I think that might be the craziest story in college football. The Penn State does not have a football coach, and they fired theirs first to get a head start. We'll attempt to beat the house coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Catch the latest from the world of Ohio State athletics. Weeknights at 6 on The Buckeye Show. New special guests in everything Scarlet and Gray, The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Casting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. For the first time in four games, Kirill Marchenko is going to return for the Blue Jackets. Dean Evason told T-Bone and Scotty Vegas this morning the Jackets right winger will be back in the lineup Thursday against the Red Wings. Face off from Nationwide 7:30 here at On the Fan with coverage at 7. Jackets are at the Panthers Saturday at 3:30. In college football, Ohio State's still waiting on Chris Henry Jr. The top receiver in the class of 26 did not submit a letter of intent to OSU on Wednesday when the early national signing period opened. A late push from Oregon and fallout from Brian Hartline taking the USF job likely put a pause on his LOI. Hartline's going to stay on with the Buckeyes through the postseason that starts Saturday in the Big Ten title. Hear more from Ohio State's head coach at noon today on the Ryan Day Radio Show. This update sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Get a holiday loan from BMI and choose loan amounts from $1,000 to $5,000. More information, bmifcu.org/holiday loan.
They'll offer betting advice, but don't bet on it being good. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, final hour here on a Thursday. Shelly time coming up at about 30 minutes from now. Time now to attempt to beat the house.
Beat the house.
Sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Visit their Grandview, Gahanna, and Westerville locations to experience the best in craft dining and distilling. Learn more at highbankco.com.
Oh, baby. You got a little drop there.
Just seeing if you can see it in the camera here.
Oh, baby.
Our friends over at High Bank Distillery came by and dropped off some goodies.
Yeah, we're going to have a big announcement on that on Monday. But a little sneak peek for you in the YouTube chat, if you're paying attention to what Reese has there, and we'll have the full announcement on that. On
look at that! But
yes, yeah, those are buttes. Those are buttes. You were pretty close to a butte, 8-8 last year, last week rather. Last year you were like 60 games over.
Yeah, last year was a mirage.
No, I don't know. That's the
like an RC Cola machine in the desert. I'm 14 games under 500, but we're going to get better this week, I promise.
I was 7-9, so I went from 10 games over to 8 games over, 101-93, heading into this week, picking every NFL game all season long against the number. So we're leaking oil a little bit on the NFL side of things. Go ahead, Rhymes.
All right, so Thursday Night Football tonight, we'll start there. We got a battle between two of the every-year hosts of Thanksgiving. The Cowboys are at the Lions with the Lions laying 3.
This is an awesome game. This feels kind of like a loser-leave-home situation. Hard to imagine the loser of this one still having a chance to get in. I love the way Dallas is playing right now. I love the confidence they're playing with the two receivers. It's a dome. It's a fast track. Something just doesn't seem right in Detroit to me. They just have been a little off for a while now, and I think maybe the injuries all caught up or the changes of the two coordinators don't know what it is. I think Dallas wins this one outright. Give me the Cowboys outright.
I'm not as confident that Dallas is going to win the football game, but I'm confident that it's – I'm confident that they keep it a closer game than the 3 points. So give me the Cowboys.
All right. The Cleveland Browns, they are hosting the Tennessee Titans laying 4.5. The Browns are laying 4.5.
In a game you can hear right here on The Fan, Sunday That's with right. coverage at 11. Mm-hmm. Browns must win this football game. Must. You must beat the Tennessee Titans. Give me Cleveland. Because I'm a glutton for punishment.
Yeah, I don't know that. Quite honestly, like if I were not affiliated, I would say it might be better to lose this one, and then you can draft number one overall potentially without having to trade up to get it. But I'm sure that they will win this one, and I think they'll win it relatively comfortably just because I don't know what Tennessee – I think it's very possible, guys, that Myles Garrett breaks the sack record Sunday. I think it's very much in play. I think he gets home a lot. I think this mirrors kind of their game against the Raiders, which they won 24-10. I think it'll be very similar to that. They take care of business. Give me the Brownies.
All right, the Seahawks are at the Falcons with Atlanta getting 7 points.
It's a long flight. And boy, Seattle has done this a lot, or at least in my mind's eye, they've done it a lot. Had to make this trip across. I'm going to pull this up real quick and see how many times they've gone across the country. So they've gone, yeah. So they've gone
every
to Jacksonville.
Other week, I think.
Yeah, they've gone to Jacksonville. They've gone to D.C., Tennessee, and now Atlanta is the way that they've handled their business. And with the exception to the Commies game, all of the games have been closer than the experts think. I think this one will mirror the Commies. I think Atlanta's in punt mode at this point. I think Seattle does take care of business just outside of this number. Give me the Seahawks winning by 7+. I'll throw the points.
Yeah, I'll do the same.
Okay, the other Ohio team, the Bengals, are getting 5.5 at the Bills.
So Buffalo ran all over, has run all over. Bengals defense somehow came to life last week in a must-win game. I don't know if they win, but I know they'll... I don't know. I think they'll cover the 5.5.
Yeah, I think they could win outright. I mean, Cincinnati's still in this thing in the AFC North, too, guys. I mean, like, 9-8 might win it. Hell, 8-9 might win it. Give me the Bengals. I'll take the points.
The Vikings are laying 2.5 hosting the Commanders.
Is this McCarthy?
I believe
or
so.
Or the Brosmer guy?
Boy, they did Brosmer a dirty.
That's bad.
That was so bad. I mean, yeah. There's malpractice every week, but it feels like... So McCarthy practiced in full, and he's expected to clear concussion protocol in time for that Commanders game.
He's not much better than Brosmer. Give me Washington.
Yeah, give me the Commanders.
Okay, the battle in the bottom
of the... If you bet on this, call the hotline.
The bottom of the AFC East. The Dolphins are at the Jets, laying 2.5.
I mean, the cold front that we're getting tomorrow is going to extend into New Jersey on Sunday. Like, the Jets win this.
I'm going to go the other way. Mike McDaniel flipped it there. They've won 3 in a row and 4 out of 5. I think the Miami Dolphins can win by a field goal in New York. Give me the Fins.
That now down in the NFC South. Yes, that is correct. The Bucs are hosting the Saints, -8.5 for the Bucs.
It's a big number for this Tampa Bay team. But I think the Saints are just really, really bad. So give me Bake and the Bucks. I think they're going to end up winning this division. I'm trying to speak it into existence as well. Yeah. I think that's the only way.
I think Mike Evans might be back. Are they working towards him being back soon?
I hope so. But give me the Bucks, and I'll throw the 8.5.
I like Tampa to win, but not by the 8.5. So give me the Saints to cover.
All right, then the Colts, they always struggle in Jacksonville. They're down there against the Jaguars. They are only 1.5 favorites.
Give me the Colts.
I'll go opposite. I think the struggle bus continues. Indy hasn't really looked right in a little while now. Daniel Jones needs probably surgery, and he's playing through it. I think Jacksonville wins their 4 straight. I think they do take care of business and beat the Colts. Give me the Jaguars.
Last 1 o'clock game here. They always say to take the under in this game, but we're picking the spread here. Steelers are at the Ravens, and the Ravens are laying 6.
I don't understand this number because Baltimore has not looked like they should be favored by 6 over anybody, which sometimes leads me to believe maybe somebody knows something. I think somehow, some way, this game's closer than that, though. It just screams like Baltimore winning 13-10. So I'll take Pittsburgh in the points.
Yeah, I picture this as a field goal game. So give me Pittsburgh to cover here. And though, if Baltimore crushes Pittsburgh, do they just put Mike Tomlin on a bus to State College?
Can you imagine firing a guy who's never had a losing record?
No.
Jeez.
So 4:05 now. The Broncos are at the Raiders, laying 7.5.
I love the hook here. Because Denver's not beating anybody by a touchdown, it feels like. But the Raiders are so bad. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take the Broncos here because I think Denver's legit. Yeah, I'm taking Denver.
Same. I think they're... I just saw what the Browns defense did to the Raiders, and the Broncos might have a better defense than the Browns. So I don't understand how Vegas is going to score 10, let alone enough to where they could cover. And Denver can certainly score 20. So give me the Broncos, and I'll throw the 7.5.
Game of the week at 4:25. The Bears are at the Packers with the Packers laying 6.5.
This is weird because this number is huge. And I know that the Packers own the Bears. Like, they have ownership of them. So I understand that part of it. But I think Chicago plays everybody tough, and they win close games. So I think the idea of those two running backs going, Manungai going and Swift going, I think that this is a close game. I can see Green Bay winning, but I don't even have to worry about that. I'll take Chicago, and I'll take the points.
Same. Chicago's legit.
Last 4 o'clock game, 4:25 start. The Rams are at the Cardinals, with the Cardinals getting 7.5.
I think Los Angeles last week went up against the best team on God's green. The Carolina Panthers, fortunately for everybody else in the NFL, have a bye this week. I think this is a bounce back game for Los Angeles. Give me the Rams, minus the 7.5.
Rhyme time, do you know the story on Carolina?
On the Panthers?
With our situation.
How awesome
here.
They are. Oh, incredible. Dave Canales, coach of the year.
My 13-year-old, this is like 2 months ago, we're sitting in the basement watching football, and he goes, "Hey, Dad, did you know that you can ski down Mount Everest?" And I said, "You cannot ski down Mount Everest, you idiot. Like, no one can ski down Mount Everest." And he's like, "Yeah, they can." I'm like, "Dude, I'll bet you $500 nobody skied down Mount Everest." And the kid goes, "Done." And then he pulled up his phone, and some Red Bull dude skied down Mount Everest. So then I owed him $500. So then he goes, like 3 days later, he goes, "Dad, the Panthers are making the playoffs." And at that time, they were like 2-something. And I go, "Dude, double or nothing. They're not sniffing the playoffs. I'll bet you double or nothing right now on that."
Oh, my gosh.
So right now, it's a cool G on the line.
Ooh.
So last week, and I've been the biggest Rams fan you're going to find, and Stafford for MVP, all of it. My beloved Rams go across the country to take on the Carolina Panthers. Game. 10.5 favorites. Stafford had thrown 2 interceptions all year, threw 2 in the game, and fumbled 1 inside the 5, inside the 10, and they not only did they not cover, they lose. I mean, it's outrageous.
Yeah, that's wild. He might have lost the MVP with that game. Drake May going up ahead.
I know it.
At least that's what the odds makers are saying.
I still think Stafford can win it, and I think they do. I'm with you, Reese. I think they bounce back in a big way with the climate control in the dome, and they spin it around. Give me the Rams to cover.
Jeez, that's a lot of dough on the line.
Dude, that's just awful. Goodness. He's going to be like that. You remember that? Well, you guys are Reese isn't too young. Rhyme, you're too young. The Elaine gift for Seinfeld. Or no, it's Jerry. And
Jerry
Seinfeld
smoking the cigars.
Yeah. And she's paying the cash.
You just got to dump pennies. Like, go into his room if he's got a table or a shelf of something. Just dump the pennies on it. There you go.
There you go.
There's a grand.
I don't know if I could lift $1,000 in pennies.
Just lift with your legs.
Feels like that would be heavy.
Not with your back.
Yeah.
Primetime game. The Texans are at Kansas City. Oh, I don't see a line on this.
3.5. It's 3.5. Kansas City.
So, Kansas City, 3.5.
I think Kansas City's going to win this game, but I think it's by a field goal. So, give me Houston to cover the 3.5.
Yeah, I like the Texans in this as well. Almost, if we had to do it, I think I'd go outright because defensively, I think there's a lot to like about what Houston's doing. And offensively, it's just the Chiefs. Ugh.
Guys, how many loser leave home? I think we've got 3.
Is like Sunday Dallas? Night a loser?
I think that's one.
Yes.
At least for
Dallas,
Kansas City.
Detroit. Yeah. Dallas, Detroit. Houston and Kansas City is loser leave home. Pitt and Baltimore isn't, but it's kind of. I mean, it's a big advantage. And Cincinnati, Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo would still be in the mix, but like for Cincinnati, it's not. But definitely Dallas and Detroit and Houston and Kansas City. Like the losers are those. You're done. That's game, set, match at that point.
Phil in the YouTube chat asked Google AI, and $1,000 in pennies would weigh approximately 551 pounds.
Okay.
So get a couple bags.
It would please me greatly to just like have him have to try to take that to the bank and find a way to spend it. Or like, again, with Seinfeld, like Kramer trying to buy the things. What was he, the calzones with the change? Like him, like going into like Dick's Sporting Goods, trying to buy sneakers and pennies.
Do they still have those Coinstar machines at,
I don't know,
Giant Eagle locations?
Yeah, that's a good. I mean, that's where this is headed.
Yep.
If this continues,
where it should go.
By the way, they have a buy this week, so there's nothing even there that we can that I can deal with. this was a crazy story. Ohio State alleges, I think probably correctly, because once you cheat, you always do. Has some allegations for the University of Michigan. Michigan answered back. We'll get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
If you consider yourself a Buckeye fan, you've come to the right place. This is your heritage sports talker and home of Ohio State Athletics, The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
You can stream the...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
That we're excited about the Buckeyes playing Indiana for the Big Ten Championship would be an understatement. So we're giving you 11 hours of pregame. 11!
These guys are 11.
It all begins Saturday morning at 9. Your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Clearing skies this afternoon, but not much change in the temperature. We'll stay in the upper 20s to near 30 with wind chill values about 5 to 10 colder than that. We'll see temperatures really plummet under clear skies tonight. Near 10 tomorrow morning, single-digit lows outside the city. 10 TV Weather Impact Alert Day in place for the cold weather early Friday. That's your latest 10 Weather Impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Michael Behrens on 97.1 The Fan.
Catch T-Bone and Tybus weekday mornings from 6 to 9. If you're not completely satisfied, we'll rewind time and erase your brain. For real, The Fan. The final season of Yellowstone might just be Bo's dad live on YouTube. What's the difference anyway? This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is. And it's time for you to get ready to play, win, and celebrate big at Eldorado Scioto Downs, your ultimate Caesars Rewards destination. With Caesars Rewards, you're going to earn rewards every time you play, stay, dine, or shop, not just here, but over 50 Caesars Rewards destinations across the country. From unforgettable getaways to incredible culinary experiences, members enjoy exclusive perks and benefits that make every visit worth it. At Scioto Downs, the excitement is nonstop. Take your pick. More than 1,700 of the hottest new games. Sip on award-winning craft brews at the Brew Brothers Microbrewery, or dive into Guy Fieri's Trattoria, home of the Out of Bounds 68-layer lasagna, and the energy just keeps building. More good things. Scioto Downs has been chosen to host the prestigious Breeders' Crown in 2026, featuring 12 championship races. It's one of the biggest events in harness racing, and it's coming right here to Columbus. So come experience the action, the rewards, and the unforgettable moments waiting for you at Eldorado Scioto Downs, a Caesars Rewards destination where the rewards never stop. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem, call 1-800-589-9966. Visit caesars.com/Scioto Downs for details. I noticed it when Julian kept running over to get the play in the fourth quarter. And on the broadcast, they were saying, well, I wonder if this is to burn clock, keep him out of the huddle longer, to milk it, to try to get the game over with. And then we came to find out that there was something more to it. In fact, I think Adam King of 10TV was among the first to say, hey, there's no communication on the sidelines here with the headsets, and that's a problem. So Ryan Day was available yesterday for National Signing Day, and he was asked about the communication issues at Michigan on Saturday. Here's his response.
Oh, we're just ready for everything. Yeah, you just got to be ready for anything. And, you know, I when you go into any big game, you're always trying to put contingency plans in place for anything that could possibly happen. And so, I was in here on Friday, and I think some of the guys in the staff were looking at me sideways like, why would you think that would happen? I said, I don't know. We just got to be ready and be ready for anything. It's funny how your mind works.
You missed the wink. You obviously can't audible wink, but... Yeah, this was when he was asked about having wrist communication with Julian, what had happened with that. And he's like, we thought something might be funky at Michigan with the electricity. And it's like, what? Like something midweek?
They are so nefarious. I mean, the Stallion stuff speaks for itself in terms of just what their program is built on. But even what they did post-game, with standing on the M, it was almost like they were trying to incite a fight.
Whole game and post. Yeah,
good point. Not even just then.
Before,
really, the
during,
whole game.
And after, it was all trying to provoke Ohio State.
Well, and Austin Ward has mentioned on our airwaves this week that there were still players in the tunnel kind of waiting for them, too.
Yeah, he said that with us on Monday.
Yeah.
Jake, well, he said that they were like ready to like jump the Buckeye players when they came in. Like, where is the leadership?
There isn't any. And that's kind of the thing with yesterday, with National Signing Day, with Brian Hartline, like all of that stuff is fine, but I'm still riding this high from Michigan because how everything went on Saturday with Ohio State winning with class, winning with grace, and Michigan trying to do nonsense like this.
So our buddy Jake Trotter got a response from Michigan. They provided him a statement yesterday. They said in part, quote, "We do not manage their communication system. Each athletic department provides electrical power and fiber lines that are equal on both sidelines. The coach to player communication system is run by a third party chosen by the Big Ten. With any cellular based communication system, there are technical issues that happen from time to time in stadiums across the country. We don't want the opponent to have issues because our team would love to take our communication system down as well. No one benefits from a system failure. In this instance, our game event manager, stadium supervisor, and electrician and staff immediately jumped in to assist with the issue on Saturday. The issue was resolved before anything needed to be taken offline." Well, I don't know that that's true.
Yeah, I don't think that's true.
I don't know if that part's true. Yeah. Look, this type of stuff has been going on in this rivalry forever. The boys and I, actually, it was interesting. We weren't able to watch it Friday night because they had a bunch of stuff going on. So we actually watched it Saturday night. We watched the rivalry, the HBO rivalry special on Ohio State and Michigan, as we do every single year. And there's some great stories in there about Bo tracking down somebody in like the third floor of a dorm who was filming their practice, who he assumed was somebody from Ohio State. Woody, Archie tells this great story. Archie and Tom Sclodaney tell this great story about how, you know, they were having this meal and the waitresses were really nice looking waitresses. And Woody said, "Get them out of here. The cooks are going to serve my men. Bo brought them here to distract us. We'll have none of that." So like this type of stuff has been going on forever. But I think the reason it reached such a fever pitch is the Stallion stuff. That's when it flipped. Like tomfoolery here and there, distractions here and there, trying to get an advantage, unplugging communications, whatever. All of those things have a certain amount of impact. But when they did the Stallion stuff, and they know your plays that nobody should know before you call them, and then it manifests in the terms of a winning, that's when it becomes so personal and so vitriolic. And I just think in looking back on that game, and you're right, Reese, and Jake, you too, it wasn't just like sitting at the M trying to, you know, almost incite a riot and make it very ugly and like fight, but it also continued up the tunnel. And it was really after every play they were doing it. Like when they're not good enough, then they just resort to that. And that's shameful. We had this question earlier in the week, like which coach in America is on the hottest seat? It's Sherrone Moore.
Because they also fired their special teams coordinator after that Ohio State loss. And it just, I think what makes it, everything that Michigan tried to do during that game and everything we've learned since from that program makes it so much sweeter of a victory because you did it in front of their fan base. You did it with the knowledge that so many of their fans talked so much trash for that 2,191-day span, and then a bunch of them sold their tickets because I think they knew it was coming.
A lot of red.
And then to beat them like a drum the way you did, and because I got to sit in the shoe one year, or I got to sit in the Big House one year when OHIO reverberated around that stadium, I understood just how good of a feeling that is, but I can imagine it was exponentially better for this Ohio State fan that traveled up to Ann Arbor, or that Ohio State fan that traveled up to Ann Arbor, that got to do it, because few wins felt as cathartic as this one. And then everything else that came has just made it so much sweeter. So there's nothing that can take me down from this Michigan high.
No, it's going to last for a while. In another college football vein, not necessarily related to this, I did just see this in the last couple of minutes from Pete Thamel. Obviously, we're going to have some pretty big chaos this weekend in terms of the college football playoff and who gets in and who doesn't. And we have teams like Texas lobbying to get in and Vanderbilt lobbying to get in. I see no scenario where either one get in, and I'm starting to get the feeling that I see no scenario where Notre Dame gets in, which would suck because I do think Notre Dame's one of the 12 best teams, but that's not what they're going for here. They're trying to avoid antitrust litigation as well, so that's how you're going to get some of these teams who certainly are not among the top 12 teams in the country getting in. But Pete Thamel reporting this, he had sources at Vanderbilt that Vanderbilt explored the possibility of playing an exempt 13th game this weekend as a way to possibly give one final showcase for the college football playoff. There was interest from another team, the university official said, the athletic department and the coaching staff. Ultimately, the operational and legislative requirements, along with the last-minute schedule change restraints, could not support the game. So I understand why Vanderbilt would try to do this. Who do you think the opponent was?
I'm wondering if it was like a power conference team. I would think that it would have to be if they want to really showcase it, but unless they just want to play a group of five school that they can just beat the crap out of and
that
win,
wouldn't do
win
it,
by
though.
40.
I think your initial instinct is the correct one. It would have to be a team that had something to gain as well.
Boy, that'd be awkward if they set up that game and then they lost.
I mean, I initially thought Miami.
I was thinking like UAB or an American Athletic Conference team.
But that's not going to give them enough juice.
Mm-mm. It's got to be somebody within the top 25 or maybe just an SEC team that they didn't play.
It'd be cool if it was Miami.
Like Miami would make sense, but I think Miami's got a chance to get in almost regardless. But that's the team I thought of. Would that have been something Miami would have said, yeah, we'll play you, and
why
then
don't
the winner
just
here.
Do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess, the fact that they even looked into it tells you how crazy all this is. That they looked into it.
Yeah.
The more and more I think about this, and we'll have time tomorrow to talk about it at greater length, I'm starting to get the feeling that Notre Dame's cooked. I really am. Unless chalk.
It would have
really
to be straight chalk.
I think Miami, they're going to give it to Miami over them in the end, which would be a brutal thing. From their perspective, I get it from the Miami. The two teams have played. They played.
Can't ignore that game.
Matter. Yeah, but something to watch for tonight. Did the Blue Jackets turn the corner last time out in Jersey? Shelly time in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Hotline is sponsored by Accurate Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
The Gloves. It's Shelly time.
Sponsored by Midwest Cards. Experience collecting in a whole new way.
Well, buddy, I know you were not on the call in Jersey, but I'm certain that you took a long look at it, and I think we're all hopeful that that's one of the ones that we point back to in March and say that's when it all flipped. I mean, they stood up, literally, some penalty minutes, some fights, and score some goals. It looked like maybe they're going to come back, and then they put the pedal down and got the win. Can a game like that, 1 of 82, be a seminal moment for a franchise?
Yes. That's hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Down on the road, high-flying team at home, and the New Jersey Devils. And you find a way to rise above. And, you know, the leadership of Monahan, the way he battled through and picked up a highlight reel goal, the way Fantilli stood up for Werenski, and the way Voronkov just looked mean. I mean, I hate to see Brendan Dillon go down like that, you know, mm-hmm. 1,000 game night, family, friends. But I'll tell you what, once you throw a punch,
mm-hmm.
you got to realize that you are in a fight. But I just love the way they got that win. And I remember being in locker rooms after wins like that. And it just, you know, you can look across the room at your teammate in the eye and be like, we all did this together. And that's really what it feels like, or, you know, felt like from the outside of that room last game.
How about Fantilli? You mentioned that. I mean, going after and getting there for Z and all of that. I mean, that's one of the things that, you know, I think for folks that want, I mean, like Sid fought and I mean, all these guys, I'm not putting him in that category yet, obviously, but we hope he gets, you know, somewhere in that vicinity at some point. But like that's something that jumped out to me was him sticking his nose in it.
Yeah. He looked like he wanted to get involved in the action.
Yeah.
You know, and read a bit of a piece yesterday how, you know, Matthew Olivier and him were working on things because Fantilli wanted to just kind of have some tips if he did get into a fight. So, you know, that's the progression of being a young NHL hockey player or pro that wants to be impactful in any way. I love seeing that stuff. you know, it's and Siegenthaler gets thrown out because his jersey's not tied down. His coach says Siegenthaler wasn't ready to fight. It's like, come on. You're playing hockey and you throw a punch. You're in a fight. Drop your gloves and fight the 21, 22-year-old yeah. star. And, you know, at least fight back. I loved it out of Fantilli. It was like I thought they bullied the Devils and got the win.
That's it.
I really did.
That's it. That's it. They bullied him, and that's what you need to do to make this to maybe turn the corner on this thing. And you mentioned something there that I'm curious about. Is that a common thing? Like, did that happen in your career when young guys would come up and say, "Hey, Joe, what? I've never fought anybody. What do I? Did that happen? Is that common?"
Oh yeah, that happened all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was kind of a, you know, you'd end practice and then you'd be sitting around and I'd be wrestling with someone just trying to work on my grip. And then the next thing, you know, I'd have like, you know, Rick Nash would do it with us. He would practice it. Put smiles on our faces, of course. I remember, you know, I lost two teeth in my career and one, and my mom was, you know, she loved my teeth. She was so proud of my teeth. And I made it through my junior hockey career where I had 1 year, 400 and something penalty minutes. I mean, I got beat up my first year. And then by the third year, I was doing okay. But I finished my third year of major junior hockey with all the fights and sticks and everything. That off season, I was on the ice with two buddies. And at the end of the practice, we start play fighting, like practice fighting. Mm-hmm. And my buddy clips the bottom of my tooth and it bends back. And your tooth is like, what, 3 inches long? It's bent back in my mouth. And so my other buddy's dad was a doctor. So I don't know. I went and asked him if I should leave it in there. And he said, yeah. It was a Friday night. I left it in there all weekend and went to the dentist on Monday. This tooth was hanging down. I think I still went out and partied with it like that.
Of course you did.
I went to the dentist on Monday. He just flicked it out of my mouth and then dug the root out. And that's how I lost one of my teeth, to get back to the story, is doing what, you know, Fantilini would have done.
You lost a tooth in a practice fight.
Yeah, after playing 3 years of junior, I got beat up. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Now I'm fascinated by this. What was your first fight? When was your first fight?
I never been in a fight in my life off the ice. Like, my dad was like my coach always. And if I took a penalty, I'd always get, you know, the whack in the back of the head or whatever on the bench. And then, you know, referees were like, and teachers were like, you know, they were always right. So I went to major junior camp and there was a tough guy they were parading around, Moose DuPont, who was, for any Flyers fans, Moose DuPont was a legend with the Flyers back when they won the Stanley Cups. His son was a prayed around as a tough guy. And someone told me that, you know, just you should train and you know, this is, the guy's not that tough. And I said, well, that means nothing to me. I've never been in a fight in my life. But I went to training camp and I'd done a little boxing and this guy challenged me. And that was my first fight ever. And I did okay. I got a black eye, but I did okay and made a little bit of impression, and that's how I made a major junior hockey team.
I just think it's just such a remarkable, cool thing that still exists in the sport. We don't see it as much as we did, and
it's awesome.
It gets the crowd going. I think the guys love doing it. It's one of those things that I think it's so cool. Like how you guys, like you can literally fight bare knuckle. And then shake hands in a handshake line at the end of the Stanley Cup. Like, shake hands if you crazy. Just you fought him 10 minutes ago.
I fought Jared Bull. You know, he's one of my buddies. A lot of old lines. Still talk to him. It's just like, you know what? Fighting is coming back. Every team is looking for, like, every team would, they just covet Matthew Olivier and that type of player. You know, it's coming back. It's, hockey's been played a little bit without emotion in the regular season, it seems like, at times.
I agree.
But I think teams are feeling that to get engaged at, you know, points of the season, it's okay to have a rivalry. Can you imagine if we play the Devils in the playoffs this year and in the first round? Like the floor is already laid for kind of how they feel about each other, and it really sets up for a heck of a New Year's Eve. And think about it as a fan. I was looking at clips last night of when Lindros returned to Philly. with the Rangers. Mm-hmm. If you have time, you check that out with who was calling it. It was I forget now.
Was he in Philly or when he was with the Rangers?
In Philly. He Eric Lindros' first return to Philly. Remember, he left the Flyers on a bad note.
Yep.
Bobby Clark was the GM.
Yep.
All kinds of storylines. But it's just remarkable. It's about a 15-minute clip. You see the emotion. You see how they battled for each other. The storylines coming in. The fans were – everybody was juiced up. And, it really brings you back to that emotional hockey.
It's awesome. It's awesome, and I'm with you. I love that it's
better.
No, and I think it's. I love that it's coming back. I think the regular season needs some of that juice. Yeah, I think it's great. There should be a lot of juice in the barn tonight. This is before a 3-game roadie. You got the Wings in town, and hopefully momentum continues to go here. I talked about this when you and I talked on Monday. You're in the bottom of the Metropolitan, but you're only 7 points out of first. Like, everybody's bunched up here, and the Wings are in the middle of this thing. You're sitting here at 29. The Wings are sitting here at 30, so it's another massive one. What will you know? What will you be looking for early to let you know that what happened Monday carried over?
Just, I always feel there's a little extra pop. You know what I mean? A little extra swagger from the locker room. After a game like that, there's just a confidence of there's nothing you guys are going to do to us. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And Detroit has no toughness whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And so, just look, I would be watching them warm up, because you see bigger smiles, shoulders a little higher. Watch Fantilli, mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit of a peacock out there a little bit tonight in warm up, where that's kind of what it does. And Marchenko's coming back, which is a huge boost to this lineup. I mean, this is a guy that's been out for the last 4 games. So that, and he was on the outside of the locker room walking in now. There's a buzz in the locker room. There'll be a buzz with this team tonight as they come home after that game. That's my feel.
Yeah. I'll get you out of here on this one. So with Marchie back, which is obviously incredibly wanted and needed, how will the lines shake out tonight? What's kind of your sense on that?
Well, I think he goes back to that top line, so he'll be back up there. That'll settle things down with that group. He'll be with Fantilli and Voronkov, mm-hmm. and expect Voronkov to have a little more room out there. And then it'll be interesting to see what happens with the second line. You definitely have Monahan there, but it'll be good. I think that there'll be some mixing and matching. They still have that third line with Coyle. Maybe Sillinger goes back down there and settles back in down there with him, because that was a good line when it was Coyle Olivier, but we'll see. I really don't know. I'm just speculating right now. Elvis back in the net is a big deal. 2 games in a row for him.
Yep.
You got to think about October, November, what he's gone through and how he's played, and not happy with it. Well, he played a heck of a game, got a win in Jersey, so now it's time to do it here at home and get a couple together, and shows you it is a true competition, right?
Yes, I love him, and he deserved it. He was great. So now mm-hmm. you get another chance. So this will be a fun one tonight. Always is when the Wings are in town. Appreciate you as always, buddy.
All right, Paul. We'll talk to you, man. Have a great day. Thank you.
You too. A little bit of Shelly time on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We get 3 things on a Thursday up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Beller has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Daily Ryan Day Show is brought to you locally by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers and by Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse on the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
This is the Daily Show with Coach Ryan Day, brought to you by Safe Flat Auto Glass. The offensive line seems like all season they've set a tone. This past weekend, as good a tone as any as they've set, Ryan?
Yeah, they were tremendous. Just the physicality as the game wore on, and their look in their eye of how physical they played was as good as I've been around. I'm proud of them. But here we go. I mean, that game's behind us, and we got a different style of opponent here this week. And, it's going to be faster and quicker, a lot of movement. So we have to adjust our game plan and our approach to this team here. And so that'll be a good challenge for our team. But I can tell you, The offensive line came out of that game, well, went into the game with confidence and came out with even more.
Okay, we have more when we continue in just a moment. Hi, this is Paul Keels. This Buckeye season, don't let a broken windshield ruin your game plan. Safelite Auto Glass makes it easy to get your windshield fixed with their mobile glass shops all over Central Ohio. They can come to you anywhere, giving Buckeye fans more time for game time. OH? Man, I love that. Schedule at safelite.com. Safelite Auto Glass is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Safelite Repair, Safelite Replace.
Buckeye fans, choose chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smoother finish. It's got that crisp, refreshing taste that makes those moments when you choose to rise above the noise and choose chill even better. Coors Light is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics, so crack one open and take a sip. Coors Light, choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2025 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Beer.
Have to talk a little bit about special teams. Just really here on the back half of the season where we've seen special teams perform at a high level, but also Jaden Fielding when called upon.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things he wanted to do was make his kicks in this game, and that was one of our things. Make all kicks. We have to make all our kicks. And, like I said to him, man, the eyes lead to the soul. And, you know, that look in your eyes is critical when you wake up on Saturday morning. And he did. He had that look all week. And he was going to make his kicks. I felt like that. He had that mindset. But, you know, that battle of field position in these matchup games is critical and something that we had to make sure we did. I thought we covered well on the kickoff. You know, Riley Pettijohn and Aaron Scott both made a great play. They had to start their drive inside the 20-yard line. So all those things add up. I would have liked to have seen, it was 4th and 2, decided to pooch it. And that moment was really trying to get that executor. We get that ball pinned inside the 5-yard line to put the best defense in the country out there to see if we get the ball back at midfield. They ended up getting the ball back for us at the 43-yard line, and we scored a touchdown there. But we didn't execute the pooch punt well enough, so we got to get that fixed. Always issues out there, but we know special teams are critical.
Yeah, this is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
For over 37 years, Buckeye Nation has known Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse for serving the best steaks in the city. Our thick-cut, aged steaks are a staple in Columbus, with 3 locations in Upper Arlington, Dublin, and downtown. And just like the Buckeyes, we strive for excellence and an experience like no other. Hyde Park is proud to introduce the newly added wine room at our downtown Columbus location, where a new elegance in dining surrounds you, creating the ideal setting for any occasion or the perfect night out. Hyde Park is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
Toyota Thon is on, and there's no better way to get in the spirit of the season than with a new Toyota, like the best-selling Toyota Camry. Now through January 5th, get 4.75 APR financing on remaining new 25 Camrys, or lease a new 26 Camry LE for $269 a month for 39 months with $3699 due at signing. With approved credit through TFS, tax, title, and license extra. Call 1-888-36-TOYOTA for details or go to toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service, because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Chip and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Find us on YouTube. Search WBNS Radio and you can see what Bo looks like.
But only if you subscribe.
This is Bishop and Friends.
Hey, Reese, what do you have in the poll today?
Daily Fan Poll asks, do you think that 5-star wide receiver Chris Henry Jr. ultimately signs with Ohio State? 55% of respondents say yes. Still waiting.
Yeah, I think the longer it goes, the better chance that you have of all of that. All right, time for three things on a Thursday. Hit it, guys.
One, two, three
things.
Sponsored by Scioto Downs. Your play, your perks, your Caesars reward spot.
All right, number one for me. So NBC has his first 8th grade basketball game tonight, the 13-year-old. And so the coach is making them dress up. So they're wearing ties.
Oh,
so
I
we
love
knew
that.
This. It's awesome. Yeah. So they wear ties and they want to, you know, dress up. And so they're all dressed up and ready to go. So we knew this. Knew this yesterday. So this morning, TikTok, 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 TikTok. As I've mentioned before, we have to leave the house at 7:45 in order to get to school on time. So my wife comes into the office at 7:26 and she's like, Peyton needs help with a tie. And I said, We're a little late for that. We're a little late for that, boys. So he waddles down at 7:28. So now all of a sudden he's like, I need a tie. I'm like, you have ties. He's like, yeah, but I don't like them. So now he's rifling through my ties, trying to find one that matches with what he's got going on. We get in the car 7 minutes past when we've got to go in order to not be tardy. So the whole time I'm just pissed off at both of them, him and Beamsy, for not getting locked in and being there on time. So we pull up and the door locks at the middle school in our town at 7:49. So it's 7:49 on the dot, right? We make it. They go to the door. The door is locked. As a parent, you're supposed to then go in and sign off on it. Did I? No. 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 They can stand outside. They will get the tardy, and they'll be punished when they get home. So I drove off as the two of them are standing outside the school with the door locked, and I just waved. Best of luck, fellas. I hope this goes well for you. I think they eventually got in, but I can't confirm.
Could it possibly be the consequences of their own actions?
That's right.
It's good.
That's right.
Good dad job out of you.
Absolutely.
I love college football example 476. I was just trying to keep track of the Chris Henry Jr. stuff. Mm-hmm. And this from a website called voiceofmotown.com. I think it's a West Virginia fan blog with the headline, West Virginia may still have a small chance at Chris Henry Jr. And it cites his dad, Chris Henry, who played for the Mountaineers.
Yeah.
It cites Pac-Man Jones, who was his uncle. It cites the Rich Rodriguez factor, and it says NIL power, West Virginia can compete. And I was like, well, that seems funny because it's West Virginia, but Mountaineers are ranked 25th in their 2026 class. So there's probably not anything there realistically with Chris Henry, but Mountaineers feel like serious people.
Well, didn't Jim Jeffries, who I think owns the Greenbrier, was like the governor or a senator? He's a billionaire. Like, he could...
That'll help.
That'll help.
They had 45 commits.
Oh, my God.
West Virginia did. Like, we're doing a little too much when you get above 30, gosh. Guys. Come on.
45?
Jeez. Go ears.
Good Lord.
Number one for me, Bo, we were talking about it earlier in the show, how it might not be a home game for Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship since the fan base travels well over to Indy, but of course it's in Indiana's backyard. Well, there's also a top 25 college basketball game in downtown Indy that features their beloved Hoosiers against the number 6 Louisville Cardinals at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. So it's going to be filled with Hoosier fans.
I said this, you would have loved yesterday because I did a little bit on how I used to love when Kentucky would play Indiana at the Hoosier Dome.
Oh, yes.
That was such an awesome game. I loved that game when they would play that. So, man, Indy's going to be hopping. Number two for me, this is... So the fourth graders, they start league play. Bootsy's team starts league play on Saturday. And in this league, they can press the last 10 minutes of the second half is when they allow press. The rest of the time, it has to be all man-to-man. So I'm going over press breaker. And I'm like, you guys have to get locked in. Like, I'm telling you, like, this is coming. We got to do it. And everyone's kind of paying attention. I look out of the corner of my eye. One of my guards just randomly starts doing a cartwheel as I'm going through press break.
Got to stay limber.
He's just doing a cartwheel. I go, dude, what are we doing? Just get on the line. Just go run. So they all have to run. But, like, this is youth coaching, kids. Jake Diebler ain't dealing with this. You're not dealing with cartwheels.
So as I'm looking to see, because West Virginia's got the 45 commits in their class, North Carolina's second with 39. I'm trying to find out where Penn State is. They've got two. They rank all the way down in the 150s, according to 24/7 Sports. The Nittany Lions are going bowling. Remains to be seen where. We do have one bowl matchup already finalized. Arkansas State's going to play Missouri State in the Frisco Bowl. That's taking the place of the Bahamas Bowl. And upon learning that, I also realized they've got 40 more bowls to choose from. That's too many.
By the way, like, why are they wasting good locations like San Francisco and the Bahamas on games like that?
Good question.
Like, those are good spots.
Why are there 40 bowls, guys?
Well, true, yeah. Because we can't ever let go of them.
Second thing, real quick for me, the ACC-SEC Challenge was last night and wrapped up. The SEC took it, but it just made me miss the Big Ten ACC Challenge and seeing those programs come up here, play Ohio State.
I love that. I love that. I wish they'd bring it back. Here's this will be the collective third from all three of us. Chris Vanini, The Athletic, Matt Campbell, Brian Dable, Jeff Hafley as possible names at Penn State. So that's where they're at on that one. That music right there means Ryan Day is coming up next. We're back tomorrow on a Football Friday. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Question from a listener. Do you dopes ever get tired of talking about Ohio State? No. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FIRST.